Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. It's the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the show. I'm going to lower my register down from whatever that was I was doing a second ago. Oh, I know what that was. That was my I'm talking to an adult like they're a four-year-old pitch, which I slide into very easily. Did you have fun on your vacation? Adult? But I'm telling you, man, there's some show we got lined up tonight. Usually we got guests, and you're just like, yeah, it was all right. Man, we got guests tonight. It's going to make every other show look like a pile of trash. Make the other best shows look like what? The reheated refuse that these other shows pass off as like their best foot forward, man. You get ready. You sit back. You relax. Crack open a little, what are you going to do? Amstel Light? Right? Well, Mike's got his Coors Light. He's fired up. He's already sideways. This dude's been on a t-shirt bender ever since his, it's like the Beverly Hillbillies, the Bayonne Hillbillies, this guy. He's got a successful t-shirt now. He's going around flashing, you'd think he was one of the Vanderbilts. Who's on the show? Kurt Vile, author of Trouble Boys, Bob Mayer, that's the Replacements book. So many more things lined up. When does it happen? Well, for your information, it happens now. Best show.
Back again. I turn up your speakers, the show's about to begin.
Best Show here on another Tuesday evening. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of tonight's episode of The Best Show. An exciting program lined up for you tonight. The wattage. The star power. Look out, man, because it's coming your way. Kurt Vile's going to be live in studio. Bob Mayer, author of Trouble Boys. The true story of The Replacements. He's going to be in studio. Others will be in studio. Look out, man. Look, if you can't handle the show tonight, don't listen. There's going to be some people like, I'm not ready for what this is supposed to be. I thought I'd rather listen to comedians, two dudes just riffing. Then go. There's 800 versions of that. No, not here. The phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the number, right? Yeah. 201-332-3484. If you want to call in on The Best Show, then my friends, I will tell you straight up that we, the people of The Best Show, tell you, the people of New York City, there's a Best Show mural up. What? What? Yes. Remember when Darth Vader went, what? Yeah, that was... Remember in that one good Star Wars movie? Remember? There's like six bad ones and one good one. But anyway, we're not here to analyze the Star Wars movies. There's enough places you go get that. Nerd dumping grounds. They'll talk all day about Watto or IG-88. You get your fill there, your Bosk talk. Hey everybody, welcome to Bosk Talk. Really want to talk about the bounty hunters on the deck of the that Imperial cruiser from Empire? Who do you think the most badass member of the bounty hunters was? Phone number 201-332-3484. My vote, obviously Boba Fett, but then the topic's going to be who's the second most badass member of the those bounty hunters? Because everybody knows Boba Fett's number one. I can say Bosk. No, we're not doing that. I don't want anybody to actually call. That's not what we're doing. There's a mural hanging. Hanging. It's painted. And you go check this thing out, man. This mural. It is on the Bushwick Ridgewood axis on the corner of Wyckoff Avenue and Norman Street by the Halsey L stop. And you go get your, this is what you do. You go get your picture taken in front of it and you hashtag it Best Show Rules NYC and you post it. And I'm giving prizes out every day to people who send me their pictures taken in front of that thing. Every day. Who knows? Maybe you'll see me in front of it. Playing jacks on the street. Right? I'll just put a sleeping bag down. Make like I'm lined up waiting for Dave Matthews tickets.
The Dave Matthews tickets go on sale at 10 in the morning.
I got floor seats. I got floor seats. Right where he's. I hope he does that song. You think Dave's gonna do that song? That voice. How's that voice? That's a worse voice than Bob Dylan. Dave Matthews. It's like Adam Sandler. So yes, go get your picture taken in front of the mural in Brooklyn, Bushwick, Ridgewood, La Axis there. Wyckoff and Norman. Yeah, post it. Best show, rules, NYC. And then I'm going to give, every day I'm giving prizes out to people who send their pictures in front of it. Don't miss it. Get your picture taken in front of it. Who's good here, Mike? One. Mike says one's good. We'll find out. Best show. Hold on. No. One's gone, Mike. Yeah. I tell you. He's not that interested in screening calls anymore. He's interested in his masses shirts. Best show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. To whom am I speaking?
This is Dan from Akron.
Dan from Akron. What's going on in Akron tonight?
Oh, you know, just...
tire fires?
Drowning my sorrows about LeBron, you know.
Yeah. You shouldn't be drowning your sorrows about LeBron. It should be about those 11 other losers on the team. That's who you should be drowning your sorrows about. You got one dude showing up to play, and 11 guys, they might as well be sitting in the stands eating Cracker Jacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really actually follow the Cavs, so I don't know.
So you're not drowning your sorrows then. Why would you say that?
No.
Why would you say that?
Well, I know you like basketball. I was trying to just, you know,
you
connect
can talk
with you.
To me like a normal person. See, now you're a weirdo. Now you're the weirdo. Because you pretended to... Oh, I guess Tom likes basketball. I'll call up and... I know the Cavaliers. I think that's the basketball team out here. They're getting their clocks cleaned. I'll act like a super fan. And then we'll get a good convo going. And I'll be off to the races. And he won't even know I was fibbing about Karen. About basketball. But look at you.
You're right. It was just my insecurity. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Dan.
Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to call up and talk about who the second most badass bounty hunter on the Star Destroyer is.
I don't want to talk about that, but give me your answer.
I think it's IG-88, the robot.
Yeah. That skinny robot. I don't know, man. That robot doesn't look too tough.
Yeah, he looks like if, an Android phone was a real thing.
Yeah, they are real things. Oh, Dan.
I mean, like...
Dan.
Look, I'm a little distracted.
Yeah, well, what are you distracted about?
The pizza guy just got here.
The pizza guy just got here. You had to fit this call in and order pizza at the same time.
I thought I was going to get booted sooner.
This is what you do. I want to hear you square up with this pizza guy.
Okay.
Is he at the door now?
He just buzzed in. He's coming up.
Well, I want to hear you do this transaction with the pizza guy, unless you're fibbing about that.
No, it's really coming.
All right, let's hear this.
All right. A bit of a walk, so what, I'll peep out the peephole here. And
what did you order? What did you order?
I ordered extra large cheese.
An extra large cheese. And who's eating that thing? Just you?
No, me and my wife.
You and your wife.
Yeah.
Brag much? Right.
Hey, you asked.
So All you right. and your wife are going to eat a cheese pizza, large cheese.
All right, pizza man's here. Hey, how's it going?
This is what you repeat. Yeah. You repeat everything I say. You repeat everything I say, Dan. How are you tonight?
And how are you tonight?
How's it going?
Wait, what, who just said, how's it going?
I did.
No, you say to him, and how are you tonight?
How are you tonight?
You close to quitting time there, my friend?
Okay.
Close
to quitting time.
My friend.
Close to quitting time? They just got one.
Oh, yeah.
They just got me as a
Okay, now say to him, SSDD, bro. SSDD.
SSDD, you know what I'm saying? Do you have a pen?
No, I don't have one on me.
Now tip, how much are you going to tip this guy?
Like $3.
No, you're going to tip him, $7.
All right, I'll do that.
Then you say to him, I was going to tip you $3, but the guy on the phone told me to tip you $7. Say that.
I was going to tip you $3, but the guy on the phone told me to tip you $7. So. You're welcome.
Have a nice day.
Tip you too. All right, he's gone.
That was your punishment, cheapo.
It wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, you threw him an extra few bucks, you tightwad.
Well, it took him like an hour and a half to get here, so.
Well, you didn't tell me that. Why'd you tip him that much? What are you, a moron? That guy took an hour and a half to deliver a pizza? What, do you come from Italy with it?
Yeah, I think they're shorthanded tonight or something.
Yeah, they better be shorthanded. For it to take an hour and a half, he should be making the pizzas and then driving them in his car one by one.
I think that might have been what he was doing.
Yeah, wow. Thanks for the call, Dan.
Yep.
Best show.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Adam from Tampa.
Adam from Tampa. What's going on in Tampa?
Well, I just wanted to say a very short phrase that's really been on my mind a lot lately.
What's that?
Fred Melamed in Lady Dynamite, right?
I watched the one episode so far. I like it. I just only watched one so far.
Oh, man, he gets so much better through the series. He's great. His character is an absolutely brilliant detail on that show.
Okay. Oh, look, I like Fred Melamed. Cy Abelman.
We talked about him on the Coen Brothers list.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah, he's a genius, that guy.
Cy Abelman. You got to sell me on Fred Melamed.
Well, I'm glad we're of a like mind on that one.
Yeah. So what else is going on, Adam?
No, not a whole lot. Just got done playing some Mario Kart before the show. My wife.
Who do you play on Mario Kart?
Waluigi.
Who?
Waluigi.
Waluigi.
Yeah.
Best show.
Yeah, what's up? I'm still here waiting to talk about Carvajal, man.
Yeah, you're here, man. Who's this?
No, I'm here. I know I'm here. Hey, this is Chuck from Knoxville. How are you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, nothing much. I was on Twitter.
I want to say this first one. Chuck,
saw,
Chuck.
Whoa.
You listen to
okay,
me,
I'm
Chuck.
Ready.
I can hear it in your voice. You sound like a guy who's got you're predisposed to curse. I can hear it.
No. Are you kidding me, man?
Man.
Okay, what if I do that? I'll pause before I get too excited about something.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
Okay.
All right, so where? What's your name again?
It's Chuck.
Chuck from Knoxville. Okay. You're saying it like I should know it. I don't know who you are.
Well, I don't know. You might hang out. Look, Tom, that's what this is about.
Well,
I'm calling.
I'm making it about that.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. I mean, yeah.
So what? I mean, what? You're on Twitter.
So, well, Tom, you really hurt my feelings, man.
How did I hurt your feelings?
Because you, I'm on Twitter. I see this number. I want to call. I want to see how you're doing. Just, you know, really talk. And you've just thrown me under the bus.
I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm talking. You're the one who can't put a coherent sentence together.
I can put a lot of, okay, this is what matters. So.
You didn't do yourself any great service by going, I can put a co, so anyway, this is what I, you literally.
Can't put a
didn't put a coherent sentence together when you were telling me I can put a coherent sentence together. But Chuck, I'm on your side, buddy.
I appreciate that. You know, it's like, I guess it's those first time nerves, so I'm like trying to rush myself.
Yeah, relax. Relax,
I'm
Chuck.
Cool. Hold a cucumber.
Yeah, so you're cool, man.
I'm on Twitter. I see that you have Kurt Vile is going to be on the show. That pumps me up a ton.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a story that I realize is a pretty good story. Done.
Okay.
I met this record shop, and I asked this guy at the front desk if he has any posters, and he's only like, yeah, they're all in that box over there. And I was like, what box? There are boxes everywhere. It doesn't matter. So I go all the way over there, and I start going through the trash because I thought that's what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. So you start rooting through a garbage. You actually start rooting through a garbage can.
I mean, it was like a cardboard box that they had trash in. Mm-hmm. So I end up looking like an idiot.
Let me just ask you something.
Yeah, yeah, I'm ready.
You ever play Mario Kart? What was that guy talking about? Mario. Dude. Waluigi? What is that?
Waluigi, I don't know. I always play Luigi, but that's just me, man.
Okay, so you're rooting through a garbage can.
I'm rooting through a garbage can.
There, you know what posters look like, right?
Oh no, I do. But when somebody I'm not great at the cues and stuff. We already went over.
Were you kind of like? Were you like maybe this coffee filter and these dirty coffee grounds are a poster?
Yeah, that's what I was. Well, I was holding it up and I was like, "Oh, is this that Kurt Vile poster I'm looking for?"
Maybe this is a poster here, and like, oh no, it's a sandwich wrapper.
Yes.
And so now I got special sauce all over my fingers.
Yeah. So this guy walks over to me, obviously thinking I really need help with something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, don't worry about it. He told me it's in this box. And he's like, dude, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, the posters. Mm-hmm. And dude's like, no, the box, it ends up being this glass case. The guy was saying box, like the dimensions of a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dumb enough to go over to a cardboard box.
Be honest with me, Chuck. Be honest with me.
I'm ready.
You were pretty, you were high when that happened, right? And I'm not putting a judgment on it.
No. What? What?
I'm not judging. What? I'm not.
All right. Sounds like you are.
Now you're doing a character.
That's my feeling.
You're very fragile. I thought you Tennessee people were made of, stronger stuff.
Ooh.
I know people from Knoxville who would put you to shame in terms of being rugged.
Being a true volunteer.
Looking at Twitter right now, somebody says this is a fake story.
What? Oh, that's bullshit.
See? And you cursed, you dunce.
Oh, dunce. Okay, you got me. Sorry,
hey.
I am fragile.
Hey, Chuck.
Okay,
Chuck.
I'm listening.
Drop
What's
dead.
What's up, Tom?
Yeah, bum. I'm not going to curse, man. Man, what do you think I'm going to curse, man? Shameful. Right, Mike? It's one of your people. And I don't mean drop dead literally. I just hope he... You know what I hope happens to him? Hope he spills a glass of water on his pants. That's what I hope. I don't want him to literally drop dead. But you know what I do want? Literally? I literally want you to be able to do the website that you want to do. The website you dream of. Getting your thoughts and creations out there. Whether you're trying to just do a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store. It's hard doing a website, and that's why we've got Squarespace. That's why we've got Squarespace. I don't know code, man. You know that. I told you already. Build a website? Not me, man. Don't know how to do it. I try to do stuff on the computer, makes a big mess, and it's a problem, and everybody's mad. That's why you got Squarespace. Simple and intuitive. You can add and arrange your content and features with a mere click of a mouse. Beautiful templates. You design that best-in-class online store with their award-winning templates. All without a single plug-in. And all around the world, everybody's using Squarespace. From nationally recognized brands to your local favorite shops, hundreds of thousands of savvy shop owners are using it. Track your inventory, process orders, send custom emails with one intuitive interface. Squarespace Commerce allows you to understand every aspect of your business, and they offer 24/7 customer support. And each and every member of the Squarespace team is an experienced Squarespace user working from a Squarespace office. No matter how technical or trivial seeming your problem or question is, one of the team will always be online to assist you. So what do? Simple. You start your free trial today over at squarespace.com and you enter in offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off that first purchase. Squarespace.com, offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. They haven't officially greenlit it now. I've heard the people at Squarespace are warming up to it. Here comes the tag. Squarespace. Build your website, bruh.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And I want to tell you, Father's Day's coming up. And it's hard, man, hard to figure out what to get your father for Father's Day. Well, I'm telling you right now, Harry's! That's what you do. A razor. One of their beautiful shaving sets. That makes the perfect Father's Day gift. Looks cool, feels special. It's something your old man will actually use. You don't want to get him another tie or pair of socks he's never going to wear. But you want to get him something practical that doesn't feel special. You don't want to get him something really practical that doesn't feel special enough to be a gift. That's why Harry's has you covered. And while supplies last, Harry's is offering a special limited edition shave set for Father's Day. Now, what is that? Simple. It's a beautiful shave set featuring 5 German-crafted blades, flex hinge and lubricating strip, quality guaranteed. And this limited edition Father's Day shave set includes a matte black razor handle, chrome razor stand, Harry's moisturizing foam shave gel, 3 of Harry's handcrafted razor blade cartridges, and a travel cover, all for $40. Comes in a sleek, giftable box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card. But that's not the only thing you get at Harry's. They've got different price points, starting at $15. You get one yourself. I got the Harry's kit. I'm telling you, man, that's a smooth shave. Super nice. I'm walking around now. Not all ruddy and scraped up. Nah, man, Harry's. That's the way to go. Order online. Shipping in the U.S. is free for all the Harry's shave sets. So you go to harrys.com right now and redeem special offer code. Best Show. That's the promo code. Best Show. It's a special offer for fans of the Best Show. And they will give you $5 off your first purchase with that promo code, Best Show. BESTSHOW. Economy shipping for Father's Day ends Thursday, June 9th. So act now. That's Harry's.com. HARRYS.com. Offer code Best Show to get that $5 off. Get your dad something he'll actually use this Father's Day. Harry's. Shave your face, bruh. I'm being told to go to the hotline. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I knew who this is. It's Neil Haggerty.
Hey, Tom. How's it
going? How are you? I'm good. What's going on with you?
Good.
Not good?
Nothing.
We just played. I started the show off playing Mountain from the new album.
Yeah. That's a cumbia, I think.
It's a good song.
Thanks.
And the new album's called Denver on Drag City.
Yeah.
So good. It's so good, Neil Haggerty. Where are you now? Where in the world is Neil Michael Haggerty?
Yeah, you want me to give clues? I go. Now I'm in Geneva. I'm off the eastern side. Now we're moving back towards Paris tomorrow.
So, and Howling Hex are tearing their way through Europe.
Yeah,
taking no prisoners, rocking hard at every turn.
Yeah, steamrolling, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. I still can't believe that you talk to me, Neil Haggerty, because you are like a legend. The things you've done, the rock you've rocked, holy moly. You played on Right Now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You played on Sweet 16.
Indeed.
You played a song called Strawberry Soda, one of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, this is about, what, Washington Park or something?
No, when
guy,
you... Go ahead.
So bad, yeah.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening to you.
Oh, I was going to say that song is about a thing that doesn't really exist anymore, which the guy's selling weed in Washington Square. Changed a lot down there, right?
Yeah, it has changed a lot in Washington Square Park. It's, you know what never changes? Half-talented what? Street performers.
Yeah.
Right?
Still there.
They'll never go away.
They're all college kids, though, now. It's not like the real thing, right?
You know what they do a lot I see down there? They'll be like people wheel an actual piano out into Washington Square Park, and they'll be playing like an upright piano.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Where do they get it?
I don't know. I don't care enough to find out, to be honest. When they're out there playing their piano?
Yeah, I'd be kind of curious to know.
Yeah.
I just whipped that out. Yeah.
They're rolling down. That's the bummer when it's over and you see the guy who's like, got to roll that piano back to who knows where.
Yeah. He's got like a Mercedes van or something.
Yeah, I don't know if he's rolling his upright piano into a Mercedes van. I think he probably wheels it into the dog park, tips it over, and then like pushes like some like wood chips on top of it, like some cedar chips, and hope nobody notices that there's a piano under there.
That's good. That's like a positive take. Like there's still some kind of life.
Yeah.
That's great. You're optimistic.
Neil, these NBA finals, what do you make of this? This is not going well if you don't like the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen 1 second. All I saw was a clip of Draymond Green, the thing he got suspended for, against the Thunder, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing they play it over here. Just like
the clip of him kicking Steven Adams.
Yeah, Steven is just a blooper, you know, that's all. And then, yeah, I think hopefully it'll just be over fast. It doesn't look good, man.
No, I will say this. Draymond Green, that guy, he's one of these players, you know, these like pile on kind of players where they don't never start no rallies themselves, but they always pile, like the team's up 10 and then now he's hitting threes. Like it's that kind of
Definitely.
Like, you know, that kind of guy, it's a worse kind of drive you up the wall. Yeah. You're not hitting any shots when it's tied, but now they're up 12. Suddenly he's hitting threes and he's dancing all around. It's like you're a pile on player.
That's so Starks was, he brought that to the Warriors, I think, right?
When John Starks was on the Warriors? I don't know if that was He was on the Warriors. I know that.
Fact check. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he set the tone.
So he set the culture for pile on there.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit. It's always Kerr and Mark Jackson.
They got to go all the way back to John Starks.
Yeah, it all goes back to that.
So you're in Geneva now. When's the next show? The next show is Paris?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to Paris.
I love it. The people of Paris are in for a treat.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love that place.
I have a few rapid-fire questions for you, Neil.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Is there going to be a reissue? Don't worry. Is there going to be a vinyl reissue of Sweet 16 anytime soon?
I don't know. It's not under our control.
Yes.
So.
Okay. What's the best live show you've ever seen?
It was the Feelies in like 9:30 Club, like 85 or something.
When they get locked in, right? It's like boom, da, 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 boom, right? And you just can't believe it. It's like Can is from New Jersey all of a sudden.
Yeah, they weren't right.
No, Can were not from New Jersey.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it was so good. Yeah, I almost quit playing music. For all the haters out there,
because you were seeing how good the Feelies were, you almost packed it in.
Yeah. Oh man, it was like, I gotta work harder. Yeah,
you got work to do. How often do you have to clip your fingernails?
Once a day, easily. Yeah,
right, once a day. Do you prefer Marvel Team Up or Marvel 2-in-1? It's comic.
Ooh,
yeah. Let's see.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Oh god. Okay, then I'm gonna go Team Up. Yeah, I like the combos sometimes.
Remember the
Moon
one?
Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, yeah. Remember when Spider-Man teamed up with the cast of Saturday Night Live? Do you remember that one?
I've seen the cover, but I never read it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Will we ever get...
Wisecracking.
Yeah. So Spider-Man stuck up at 30 Rock. Hanging
out
with
like,
Garrett Morris.
Like, leave it to the professionals, please. They're all getting annoyed at me.
Yeah. Will we ever get a Victory Chimp movie?
Oh, yeah, I love that. It'd be great. Somebody DM me.
Somebody DM Neil with some with some studio financing, and then the answer will be yes.
Yeah, that's my sole fundraising venue. It's just Twitter.
Yes, you're fundraising on Twitter and on The Best Show.
Yeah, on the phone.
So, Neil.
Yeah.
You're going to keep calling? You're going to call next week?
Yeah, I kind of call next week.
Call next
week. I think I might be back. Oh, I'll be in London.
All right, call from London.
Super session coming up, yeah.
Super session? Who's in the super session?
Well, I know Jason from Spiritualized is probably going to be there.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know. I like Van Hot Ship, Alexis from that band going to drop in.
What if you guys got all those people together and then you did like the way all those super sessions do, like Johnny B. Good, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, or just a New Life. It'd just be like Depeche Mode songs.
Yeah. Do New Life by Depeche Mode. That... If it was Howling Hex and Hot Chip and Jason from Spiritualized, and you guys were doing New Life by Depeche Mode, I might fly over and be there to watch that for next week.
Oh, yeah. The kids are rolling. I can't wait till that. Get up to that ear on vinyl and be like, he's going to play you.
Oh, Neil. Look, Neil, you call next week. We will keep talking. I appreciate you checking in.
All right. Yeah, man. Sounds like a great show tonight. So. Yeah.
KV will be here. You know KV.
Yeah. Yeah. Right here. I met Ariel Pink last night. I never really met before. So I guess Kurt's on the list.
Yeah. KV, yeah, Ariel Pink.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All the big guys.
I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Of course. Okay. Right, bye.
Bye.
Neil Haggerty. Isn't it? He's checking in from the road. One other thing I want to tell you about, my friends. Let me ask you a question. Do you love books, but you find you never have the time to read them? Well, audible.com has the perfect solution. You get audiobooks, you listen to them, all the ones you've been meaning to read while you're on the go and you're at the gym and your commute. Audible.com provides over 250,000 titles from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. The app is free and works on iPhones, iPads, Androids, Windows phones. You also listen on your Kindle Fire. With Audible, you own the book. You can access it on any time right from your smartphone. And they also got that great listen guarantee. If you decide you don't like the book you choose, no worries. You exchange it if you're not happy for another title anytime, no questions asked. I have on my phone ready to listen to, starting, that's right, tomorrow, from audible.com, the Burt Reynolds book, But Enough About Me, a memoir. Can't wait. I think it's read by Burt Reynolds. How awesome is that? I got that dude who was telling me he's listening to this Elvis Costello thing, and it's Elvis Costello reading the thing. Can't go wrong with Audible, man. So Best Show listeners, Audible.com is offering a 30-day trial membership. You go to audible.com/bestshow today to start that free trial. And again, show your support for the Best Show, and by going to Audible and getting that free trial membership, 30 days, audible.com/bestshow. I want to tell, I told you about the mural. It's in New York, the Bushwick Ridgewood Axis. You go check it out, get your picture taken in front of it. You post it on Instagram or on Twitter. Hashtag it Best Show Rules NYC. I'm giving prizes out every day, man. People do that. Every day. And they got this new Burger King thing out now, some new sandwich. I guess it's like, it looks like, what is this new thing? Mike was saying, he's like, are you going to make us eat the new Burger King thing? I'm like, the Burger King, the Whopper Burrito. Is that it? Whopperito. I think next week Mike will take the crew out to Burger King. How much to eat the Whopperito? Mike? Yeah. Yeah. You'll eat it. I'll pay for it. I'll buy it for you. Dudio? Okay, it's two Whopperitos. Pat? Yeah, well, it was Craig, Human Clock was here last week. He gave a Burger King gift card. And so next week these three animals are going to be at Burger King. Three Whopperitos. This is what I want you to order next week, guys. Three Whopperitos and three large black coffees. And then just eat the Whopperitos in the parking lot. If we announce that you'll be in that Burger King parking lot next week, would you guys sign stuff? If any fans, if you want to do a meet, would you do a Whopperito meet and greet next week? Okay, next week, the Burger King outside the Holland Tunnel. Get ready for the meet and greet. If you ever want to meet AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne, they'll be outside the Holland Tunnel eating Whopperitos, signing stuff. Partying down. Boy, what a scene that'll be. And Mike has these shirts, and all kidding aside, I know you're wondering, I mentioned Mike's shirts. What am I talking about? Well, you know Massa's Tavern, it's the bar that Mike bartends at on Sundays. Well, Mike is selling Massa's Tavern t-shirts on his Bandcamp page, which is apmike.bandcamp.com. Massa's Tavern shirts are very nice. You're going to love them. Go there, order it. Throw your support behind Mike. How about that, right? Throw him a bone for once in his life. This guy's got so little. Right, Mike? You got nothing. I see what this guy's got. Right now, it's him with the pile of Massa's shirts. He's got a six-pack of Coors and a pile of Massa's shirts. He's like the Jerk. Wait, there's a movie called The Jerk, too? I just meant he was like a jerk. Mike? Please send in, we're gonna go back and forth with my guests. Have a grand old time. I'd like to say hi to KV first if he's here. KurtVile.com. Show him in, Mike. Oh, look at, oh my god. Oh no, this is, in that blue chair. This is, we are off to the races.
Where's the volume on this thing? I'm deaf. I've been on the road.
Don't worry.
All right. One. Good.
Check. So you're doing a sound check.
Two. Yeah. That's how I sound check. Yeah.
Kurt Vile. My favorite.
Yes, you're my fave.
How are you?
I'm really good.
I see. You're working on the Coors Light there.
Yeah, it's cold. Uh-huh. I brought a couple of Modelos in, but they were warm.
Okay.
And I immediately exploded one. I made the typical, like, kind of Jello Man entrance, really. You know, one time Jello Man, he came into the studio immediately. It was actually right when he's going to call you one time. And the first thing he did, he came through and he had, like, a can of sardines. And he was just like, smelled like fish, and he ran to call you out back, and he knocked over like a cup of water into Rob's backpack on all his stuff and onto all like the hard drives, just like within 1 second of entering the studio. And Paul's like, Rob was like, hey, what happened? Paul! That's like typical. So that's what I did. That's how I got here.
So Paul, you say Jello Man, your brother Paul Vile.
Yeah.
He goes by his name Jello Man.
Yeah.
Which there's Batman.
Yep.
Superman.
Yep.
Ant-Man.
Yeah, now there's Ant-Man too.
Jello Man. Now there's Jello Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
What is his superpower?
He can just wreak havoc within 1 minute, you know, he'll just stink up the whole room of sardines and dump water all over your hard drive master tapes within, you know, 1 minute with, you know, in a single bound.
Yeah, in a single bound, he can ruin your hard work, right?
Yeah.
He can demagnetize your tapes and smear sardines all over them.
Yeah.
You're home now. You're never home.
I know. I'm home for a second. Oh, man, this is cutting in and out. I hate it. But I'm home for a second. I'm going to Bonnaroo in a couple days.
Okay.
Oh, that's better. And so is Jell-O-Man. I'm not to keep talking about Jell-O-Man, but he's making a bunch of shirts right now. Which, you know, me and or you do not endorse, but.
No, he, there you go. You like that, Mike? Coors Light.
It's a rap beer now.
Tap the Rockies, right?
Yeah.
So you've been on tour like forever, Kurt. How long have you been out?
Well, my new album came out in, late September. So I've been on tour since then. But there have been good breaks. I mean, at first it's always crazy, like a month in the States, a month in Europe, a couple days off, go back out. But now there's been good breaks, you know. I saw you. We talked, you know. I saw you in Nashville. I got little family vacations in between. I get pretty smart. I'm smart this time around because I have the family meet me, you know, somewhere that's not Philly. That helps a lot in between touring and little vacations and such.
But, yeah.
So yeah.
At the end of the tour, we were in Nashville.
Yeah.
Then you were in Nashville.
I went back.
And you went back again.
Yeah.
But I know we talked about it on the radio already, but that was we all saw each other at the Neil Young show.
Uh-huh.
Dennis Lynn, you're backstage.
Yep.
Mr. Cool.
Yep. Exactly.
That has to be way at the top of people you've ever would want to meet.
Neil?
Yeah.
Neil Young, not Haggerty. That'd be cool to meet him, too.
Yeah. You've met him,
no,
right?
No, I never met him.
You never met him?
You know, back I was telling... There's a story. I hate to talk so much about... Well, I'll tell you what I hate to talk so much about after I tell the story. But basically, I'm friends with Jen Harima.
Sure.
I never met Neil. I'm definitely a fan of Royal Trucks. But she said when they finally did those reunions, because, you know, they were split up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were married. I don't know if it was common law. I don't know if there was a ceremony. But that's beside the point. But anyway, they hadn't seen each other for... 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing, Jen told me the first thing Neil asked her when they finally got together was, he's like, "Do you know the Jell-O Man?"
No.
I swear. Yeah, no, it's a fact because, I don't know, he's been listening to your show.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he, you know, he, so anyway.
Do you know the Jell-O Man?
Because I guess he knew that we were buddies.
Oh,
Jen. Yeah, that's my girl, Jen.
So, do you... That's just like... Jell-O Man is like your AP Mike.
No. No, he's not.
But you're related to him. I feel like if I was related... Oh, my God. No. If suddenly I turned around and AP Mike was my brother?
Yeah, he's not my AP Mike.
Could you imagine?
But he's not my... at one point, maybe he was, but then he got fired.
Mm-hmm. He ain't heavy.
Yeah.
He's AP Mike. What if the two of them, what if they team up? Imagine that.
That's probably in the works.
AP Mike.
Can you imagine, you know that glossy, did you ever put that glossy picture of Mike up? You know the one that...
The headshot? Oh, yeah.
Is that up on your site?
Oh, it's all over. Is it on my site? This guy's...
Because I have one with love from Mike, and I got it, and then I put it right on my Instagram. But then I looked, and, like, it looks, like, so good and funny, but also a little creepy. Like, you look at the top of his lip on my picture, go to my Instagram, and it's got, like, it's just, like, a little white, and then it just looks a little white up there. Something about it looks wrong, you know? It's like, what?
Mike?
Go to my
any thoughts on your headshot? Because Mike was selling these headshots. God knows where he got the idea.
But they should have one together, maybe, but go ahead.
But he's got these headshots. He goes, he sells. What won't you sell, Mike? He's got masses, shirts, headshots. He's got these songs now. He's got a, he's working on a calendar now. It's like you're worse than like Kiss. Mike is like the Kiss of Bayonne. Just put anything out, slap his name on anything. Seriously though, these t-shirts are, the t-shirts are nice. The headshots, I see them on I see them on Instagram and Twitter where people put these headshots up. I'm looking at the picture. I'm just looking at the headshot, not yours. Where's the white? That? Here?
Yeah, wait. It might be just mine in general, though. Or maybe it's like the way the light. If you go to my Instagram, you got to look at that one. Right, and it's also got the autograph. It's like, with love from Mike. And then if you just search it on my Instagram, it's got this perfect light above his lips. You're see. Like, what is?
Let's see.
Creepy.
Well, that's different. This is clearly some reflective thing.
Yeah, but that's
makes it look like he was huffing paint with this picture. Look at that. It looks like
if you put that on your wall as a kid, like your parents would be like, yeah, okay, it's worse than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, now Mike is, he's been signing these headshots and I see on Instagram, it's like, everybody posts him and it's like he's in people's houses now, the way people used to have like a picture of JFK hanging on their wall.
Yeah.
Now they got a picture of AP Mike hanging on in their kitchen.
Or rock bands. Some other people, they don't have the president on their wall. They have rock bands on the wall or something.
Yeah. Like they'd have like a picture of like Don Henley.
Ooh.
Hanging on their wall, right? Like the building the perfect beast.
That guy's a sadist.
Building the perfect beast poster.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess. What is building the perfect beast? Is that
it was his hit album, Kurt, with featuring Boys of Summer.
I didn't know that was.
And Sunset Grill.
I love Boys of Summer. I'll give him that, but he was a sadist.
What about that song?
With Chicks.
All right. Look, I don't know. I'm going to say I don't know the story. This is between you and Don Henley.
No, it's between me and books.
All right. Look, I'm not reading these Eagles books. I watched that documentary twice.
I didn't read an Eagles book either. I read it's deceptively, you could think it was an Eagles book, but it's called Hotel California, but it's about the whole California scene. You never read that?
No, I didn't. I did watch an Eagles documentary twice. Wow. 3 hour. Where the Eagles, this is the arrogance of the Eagles, where they're like, all right, we're going to do a 3 hour documentary.
Yeah.
First 90 minutes is about the first version of the Eagles. You know, the one with all the hits in the 70s that the only but the second 90 minutes is about the Eagles from the mid 90s and 2000s. You know, the one that no one cares about.
You know, when they had came back and it was all over MTV and they would play over and over and over and over again. That mellow jam, like there's like 10 of them up front all playing guitars and they're like, when you're hungry, love will keep us alive. Remember that one? And you just look it up because like the guitar player, I don't know who it is. I don't know, he's probably one of the famous ones. He's doing slide, but he's doing all those.
Joe kinda, Walsh?
He's doing all those kind of O faces every slide. He's like, like the O face.
Yeah, he's just,
every note is little just too.
What's your worst stage? What's your worst stage face, Kurt?
I don't have bad stage faces. I got a bunch of tics that I'm proud of. I'll be like,
okay,
it's just me. I don't have any bad stage faces. Never had.
Have you ever gone back to back with someone on stage both playing guitar? You press backs?
No, my bandmates, the Violators, would never dare attempt that with me, and they know that I'm not going to go there either.
What if you guys worked up a cover of Hotel California?
We would.
I'm not saying.
Okay, what if?
What if? And then during the you go back to back and you guys are just rocking out.
Yeah, what if?
If you had to cover one Eagles song, what would it be?
Okay.
Let me see if I can guess.
No, it's a tough question because I pretty much don't like the Eagles.
Yeah, no kidding. They're terrible.
You know what? They backed up Randy Newman pretty good on the album with Short People, mm-hmm. of which I forget the name right now, but yeah. That song Baltimore, such a good song.
Okay, but we're not.
Oh, Baltimore, and they play like these leads on that and stuff like that.
But an Eagles song, you got to cover an Eagles.
No Eagles.
Picture this: Wad up, Wad up. Right? Would you do that
what
one?
What's that? So now you do what they told you.
No, that would be if you guys started doing killing. If you started Wad raging into machine Wad covers, out. That would be awesome. Boom, 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 boom. No, but if what is that song? Wad? What is that? Those Shoes, Mike.
Those shoes.
Wad up.
So now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now they do what they told you.
What?
Okay.
No, I'm just bouncing. I bounced the ball, Kurt. Don't worry. Not a judgment. So Believe I'm Going Down. It's been out for how long now, the album?
It's been out since late September.
So, yeah. So you're about nine months in.
Yeah.
You're going to play all summer, on and off all summer?
Yeah, it's been on and off in the summer, and I do Bonnaroo, and I have like another week off. I'm going to go down to Ocean City with the kids,
mm-hmm.
the wife and kids, and then I'm away all summer after that.
Yeah. It's one of your best songs, Ocean City.
Yep. Thanks. That's an oldie, actually. Pretty old. I was still blue collar then,
mm-hmm.
but it came out later. Oh, that's when we met. That was our courtship. That EP,
the Square Shells EP.
Yep,
our courtship.
Remember our courtship?
Square Shells
EP.
We met at the final Big Star show.
Yes,
and I was just like, I think this guy's making fun of me because he keeps saying how much he likes the show, but it's him. It was you and Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
From whose War on Drugs.
Yeah, but he was, when he was still in the Violators, and we were obsessed with you and all you and the Worcester, and we were basically just impersonating all those classic calls.
I was like, this guy.
And you're like, I'm really, you're saying stuff like every time I did it, I'd come up, and we were both pretty drunk, but like every time we said something, a quote, you're definitely probably impressed at how spot on the impersonations were, but they were so. There were so many of them that every time you'd be like, sort of like saying with your back to me, walking away, looking back, walking back, I'm really very, very flattered. Like as you're walking away. So,
well, I thought, I swear, I thought you guys were making fun of me because you're just like, we love the show so much. And you're just like,
we're like, hey, I don't know. Yes.
And then you're like,
Hippie Johnny and others.
But then that's like, no, this guy's all right.
Yeah, and then, I gave you a copy of that when I was touring with Effed Up.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that on here.
No, see, you're good at this. Not like that clown from Knoxville.
Yeah. Just like, speaking of which, Jen Harima, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My side of the friendship, you have Neil, I have Jen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One time only, I did this thing from Volcom where I modeled their attire,
mm-hmm.
and she was my stylist, and she was like, this is the way she was my stylist. She'd be like, put this shirt on. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, no, stretch it out. F it up a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that. He's like, yeah. And then she's like, put this hat on. I was like, okay, like this. And he's like, no, put it sideways. Pull on it. F it up a little bit.
So this is you.
Me and Jen.
And Jen, yeah. Oh. You, Kurt Vile. You're the best.
You're the best.
No, you're the best.
Remember that time Neil Young concert?
I do remember it. And I remember it was like, wasn't that great? And then you just kept walking past me in a sieve of laminate around your neck. I'm just like, oh, okay. I just was reminded of my standing in the universe.
Well, come on, stick with me, kid. I'll get you to meet Neil.
What's the best and worst Kurt Vile concert cities? Where do you like to play? And what's the word? What's the one where you're just like, oh? And this is not a slam on the people, no. Of course.
Okay, I'll tell you. I think I am the best and the worst at all times. So like, I'll just be really good one day, and then I'll just be really bad for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows where I'll be. You know, somebody called up from Knoxville who's trying to tell a story about me, which I didn't understand. But we played Knoxville, and I'll tell you what, if it's a seated theater, chances are I'm going to bomb because everybody's just sitting down looking at me, and I'm like just a paranoid person. So they're just up there judging me, and they're sitting down, and I don't know. The energy. Yeah. They're just watching.
They're just watching the show. It's generally the way it works.
Yeah, but...
You're the one up on the stage.
Well, I start to like really go inward. I hate it.
Well, look, that's fine, but you better get used to playing theaters.
Well, you know, you know in-ear monitors? Like, they say you should have them because, like, basically the first American tour, it was like a nightmare, and then just the monitors are just getting louder and louder. You're getting deafer, and they're like, you need in-ear monitors so you can sing better, the sound's better on stage. But then you put in these in-ear monitors, which are, like, all of a sudden you're just sealed off. It's like you're in a studio. It's so unnatural. And this is where I'm at. Like, it's all sealed off, perfectly clean. How are you supposed to, like, go crazy like that?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll take one ear out in the middle of the set just to feel it in a moment like that. And they say that's, like, the worst thing possible you can do for your ears. So I'm, like, kind of at the crossroads here. I don't know what to do.
So you're getting split between two worlds.
Yeah. Yes.
So you say there is no good or bad city. It's you are the variable.
Yes.
Mm.
And Neil Young hates in-ear monitors.
He does.
Yeah. You know that band the Sadies?
Mm-hmm.
This is always what haunts me because I have in-ear monitors. One of my hero guitar players, Travis from the Sadies, Neil Young knows them. They've backed him up, and I guess he's friends with Neil's brother, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, they're at that same crossroads. They're like, what, should we use in-ears? I know it's like the step you're supposed to do. And Travis called up Neil Young and asked in a voicemail or something like this. And then Neil Young called him back. He's like, listen, Travis, not only do I hate in-ear monitors, I hate the people who effing use them. So that's, look at me.
Uh-huh.
Let's not tell him.
No. All right, look. Give me some dirt. Give me a scoop. I got to get this. This show is in a free fall, Kurt. Not this specific one. In general, I need ink on this show. Throw me some dirt that's going to get this thing on the pitchfork.
What? You mean you want to, like...
I don't know anything.
Talk some trash?
No, you don't have to talk trash.
Well, you got to give me a subject because I'm good at... being honest.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
What do you want me to talk about? Titus Andronicus?
No, I don't want you to talk about Titus. No, don't do that. Come on.
Well,
I know you.
I don't know what you mean because you say dirt. Now I'm just...
Okay, not that kind of dirt.
Okay, well, what other kind of dirt is there?
I don't know. You write new songs or something?
That's not dirt.
Okay. Look.
Boom. Boom. Ooh, I'm in dirt.
Oh, so you're doing...
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't want you trashing other people.
Well, it sounded like you did.
I like those guys.
Who?
Titus Andronicus.
I'm
friends with them. It's the band you clearly were circling.
What kind of stuff do they do?
It's a rock group.
It's rock?
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
You are insane. You know what I'm going
to
do?
I'm really looking forward to checking out their stuff.
Oh, you. You're stirring it up.
Yeah.
So when your brother... Paul Jello Man said that the one time when he was playing, when you were playing, and then the crowd started chanting Jello Man.
Yeah.
How many people were actually chanting?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we could talk about that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like in his, because I remember that too. I was like, this was Sasquatch, which you just went to.
Oh, yeah. Boy, we were just there.
You didn't like it?
Hmm.
Okay.
Not a great fit.
Okay. Well, anyway. the first time I went to Sasquatch, and we flew him there early because he couldn't get into Canada. Mm-hmm. And then he, when I finally showed up there, there was some signs held up that had a Jell-O Man, like his design.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got up on stage, there was a couple, well, probably one person was like, Jell-O Man. Uh-huh. And I would tell this story like mm-hmm. with pride, like, yeah, next thing I know, everybody's like Jell-O Man. But in his head, he's like, everybody's chanting Jell-O Man. I'm taking, or that time you told him, you were his new favorite vial. And that really went.
I'll never hear the end of that. I'll tell you, that was, if I could take something back, it would probably be that, because you have never let me forget that I said that.
No, I don't think anything of that. But at that time in his life, he was like, oh God, he thinks I'm his new favorite vial. He's got this big radio show. I'm going to start talking on his radio show before I used to talk to Kurt.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to Bob Mayer for a little bit, and then we'll.
Okay.
Then you come back in. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can you swing in and out?
Yeah, totally fine.
Is Bob Mayer here, Mike? He left. What?
Yeah, I'll let him.
He left. All right.
All right.
How are you? I'm good. Dudio's here tonight. Thank you, Dudio. He's looking. Oh, that might be the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
They have the Whopper dogs, though.
The Whopper dogs. Oh, they're hot. The Whopper hot dog?
Yeah, they're Whopper hot dogs.
Have you had one yet?
I haven't.
No. Mike? Mike?
Yeah.
Have you had a Whopper hot dog?
No, I haven't. Oh, no, I did.
Somebody brought it to the bar. That is... I said that was the most depressing thing I've ever heard, that you were going to look into where the Whopperito was. The fact that Mike forgot he had a Whopper hot dog and then remember, oh yeah, I did. I forgot. Someone brought one into the bar. Bob Mayer, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. I'll be even a little better if you get up on that.
A little bit closer.
There it is. Look, I do this all day long. You live with your fingers and your computer.
No, I do it all longhand. And
oh, you do?
No,
then,
of course.
Then you send it off.
Right.
I
call for the copy boy to come take the copy.
Yes, to take it away. And then it's always like you hear about these writers. You're like, Aaron Sorkin writes everything out on a notepad. It's like, all right. There's a point where that's super affected. It's just like, try a computer. Just try it.
It won't hurt you.
Yeah. Just see if it works. We're just asking to give it a shot once. Try a computer and see if you can write on it. Now, the pad.
David Milch, he just lays down on some kind of mat and just talks extemporaneously and comes up with the stuff. And he has two people typing it and others recording it in case they miss anything.
So he's got that. And then you have like... Yeah, I'm waiting to hear about somebody where it's just like, oh yeah, Quentin Tarantino writes his stuff like the Flintstones. He has a bird pecking it into a stone. But you wrote this book, Trouble Boys, the true story of the Replacements. And I want to just say, first of all, this is the cover of the book. That's really, the dust jacket's not on it. I was going to say, it's an ominous cover, everyone. It's pitch black, and it says nothing on it. And then I realize, it's a hardcover book, and I took the dust jacket off. But this book.
Yes, sir.
I've read rock books my whole life. And I'm telling you, this book is way, this is one of the all-time greatest rock books I have ever read.
That's very kind of you to say, even if it's not true.
It's totally true. And it's almost 500 pages. It's so well researched, but it's not academic. And you tell the story and you let everybody, whether they sink or swim, it depends on where they were at. You really struck the balance with it, Bob.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I had enough time. I spent about 8 years working on it. So, I figured if I was going to spend that long, I might as well try and get it right, get that balance right.
Get the balance right, another Depeche Mode song.
Yes.
That we mentioned, which one did Neil Haggerty mention earlier? A New Life?
Yeah.
Now Love, not Loving Itself. Get the balance right. What about that as the next book, Depeche Mode? What do you think?
Well, it's funny you say that. We have run into a couple of their tour managers or people mm-hmm. who work with them. They're all sort of English people who have mm-hmm. Seem like they're from a Guy Ritchie film for the most part for some reason. They're sort of Cockney gangster types.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting as a starting point.
Yes, as you get the real story from Andy Fletcher. So anyway, we're not talking about Depeche Mode now. We're talking about The Replacements.
Can I say, I noticed you had outside here in your palatial studios, noticed you had a photo, autographed picture of John Fogerty, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of the time I interviewed John Fogerty. I mm-hmm. met him at a home that he owned. It wasn't the home he resided in, but it was a home.
Okay.
And I showed up, and you know John Fogerty has his own branded Pendleton shirts that he sort of okay. sells at shows. And I showed up, and the publicist who met me there was wearing one of his shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Fogerty's brother came in wearing one of his shirts, mm-hmm. and John Fogerty came in wearing one of his shirts. So they all were wearing his Pendleton branded shirts.
Okay.
And it reminded me of the situation you have now with Mike and his Mass's shirts. Everybody
yeah.
has one on.
Oh. Look, this is going to be the lowest point. This guy, first of all, he's whatever he did to get you to drop the Mass's shirts in this. Mike, you did it. Congratulations, Mike. You did it. You got Bob to mention. He's here to talk about his book. You got him plugging your dumb shirts again. Yeah. This guy worked 8 years on a book. He finally gets to tell the world about it, but you're out there browbeating him into mentioning your T-shirt. Let him talk about Trouble Boys, the true story of The Replacements. Now, this book, you know what's amazing about this book to me, Bob Mayer?
Yes.
Is one of the things that was amazing about it is it's like you captured the sense of, like it's like a story of class to me in so many ways, where it's like these dudes are like, they're not supposed to be anything.
Right.
They're just like born to just, like they say, to like push a broom or to push a mop. And it's just like the idea that you could get four guys who have like a larger calling in some one way or another, and that these four guys manage to just unite when people aren't looking for guys like that to do that.
Sure.
Like that's not what they're there to go get job. They didn't finish high school, right?
Right. Yeah, Westerberg's joke was there wasn't a high school diploma or a driver's license between the four of them, which is, you know, he wasn't exaggerating. It's mm-hmm. true. So if you're a band and that's your starting point, it's hard just to get to gigs, you know.
Yeah. But the idea of being able to do something that's so honest and pure and beautiful as The Replacements did through their run, when you're still feeling the pull of what you came from and what your parents came from and what their parents came from.
Yeah.
It's like it's really insane to think that it would even happen in a way.
Yeah, and it is the funny thing. It's by all rights, they shouldn't have gotten to 1981, much less, you know, 12 albums and, or 8 albums and 12 years later. And here we are 30 years later and they've, you know, on the reunion tour, they're packing arenas and stadiums and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the first part of the book is called Jail, Death, or Janitor, which is what Westerberg's answer was when he was asked, you know, what your life would have been if this band hadn't come along. And if it hadn't mm-hmm. been this exact, you know, grouping of four people equally desperate and hoping to kind of transcend their limitations. And, yeah, Jail, Death, or Janitor. And for him, mm-hmm. you know, he was a janitor. So janitor in that sequence comes after Jail and Death. But
yeah. And, but even no matter how much they succeed,
right,
they still can't shake the sense that none of this is going to work out.
Yeah. And you know, part of that was this, the, that's the psychology and that's the way they were thinking the whole time. And the way that came out, the, it was the thing of fear. It was fear of failure, but also fear of success. And that was the sort of guiding principle of everything they did, all the outrageous things with record companies and producers and even with their own fans. And so, yeah, it becomes this story of people who have are saddled with these great expectations and are in this industry and show business, and they're totally ill-equipped emotionally and psychologically to succeed, yet everybody's trying to push them towards this kind of, you know, conventional success. And they're bucking that the whole time. And so that creates a pretty amazing tension that, in their case, carried on for a decade plus.
But they're also – they're doing that tug, that push-me-pull-me thing, right, where they'll lash out against what somebody else is telling them to do. They'll buck the status quo with a thing, and then they'll just be like, why aren't we as big as REM?
Right. Well, yeah, and that was the interesting thing in researching the book, and I did it with really with the cooperation of Paul Westerberg and Tommy Stinson and most of the key principals. It's like finding out, particularly for the band, how competitive they were. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not something you'd normally associate or commonly associate with the Replacements, but they were super competitive early on with bands in Minneapolis like Husker Du or the Suburbs, and later on REM became kind of their rivals or their perceived rivals, even though they were, you know, friendly on the surface. But yeah, it's a weird thing of go away but love me, you know. Mm-hmm. That push and pull, and yeah, I mean, I think a lot of bands have that to an extent, but these guys had it at such a high level, and it was so deep in their DNA that mm-hmm. it became the story. You know, it was more almost their career was less about the music or commercial decisions. It was just like trying to get them to not just cooperate, but sort of be part of their own career.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we got Bob Mayer here. He wrote Trouble Boys, The True Story of the Replacements, which is a really great book that came out. When did this come out? A month and a half ago?
March 1st of March. So it's been out about 3 months.
3 months then. Month and a half. Six weeks, 12 weeks. I don't know. Look, I got it in the mail. I didn't stare at that. I wasn't unpacking boxes at Barnes & Noble and saw, it's here now. And people seem to really be responding to the book.
Yeah, I think I was lucky that they did the reunion for a couple of years and raised their profile and then sort of abruptly disappeared. And so the book was kind of waiting for the fan base and all the people who were curious about them. And that was not entirely planned on my part, mm-hmm. but it worked out. So
this 8-year thing, one day you're just like, I know what I'll do. Because you must have known that's like, that's the, it's one of the most, the bar is so high or low. What is the bar? If you're doing limbo, it's low.
Low, yeah.
And if you're high, and if you're pole vaulting.
Yes.
Let's just say you're pole vaulting. The bar is so high on making this happen. Like, you just know, cause it's a band that the cult is so
strong and.
Yeah. And if that book is wrong, you're gonna hear it.
Yeah. Every Replacements fan and diehard and nerd and whatever you want to say is like, they do have a very intense and intensely devoted following, and it's not really sort of, I guess there are some, but most Replacements fans don't fall into the casual category. They're mm-hmm. very, as I say, hardcore. And, you know, also I was given the opportunity because the band was participating. So it's like sort of, mm-hmm. they were putting a lot of faith in me, and I think mostly after, you know, I thought it would take a couple years, but after the third year and the fourth year and the fifth year and the sixth year, and it hadn't quite resolved itself or gotten finished, I think even they were having their doubts. Their A&R guy, Michael Hill, who's a Jersey native, was telling me, I asked him, the other night we did an event in Hoboken, and I asked him, I said, were you concerned that this might not actually, you know, that I might screw it up? What did you really mm-hmm. think? He's like, I just didn't think it was ever coming out. I started to wonder if you were actually some sort of weird grifter who was
just collecting stuff. And then that somebody would have ended up being like, I'm going to write a Replacements book. They'd be like, go, this guy did a whole lot of work on it. Just go get his, he started the ball. Tell him we told tell him that we told him to give you all the stuff he worked on and all the transcriptions of the interviews.
For the last 9 years.
Yeah. So what would be the low point in terms in the, this thing? Of just of that, because that is such 8 years is to see a thing through.
Well, there's always the point, this is being my first book as well, there's always a point where you wonder, like, okay, you know, you're doing the research and you can do the interviews and read up and all that stuff. There's a point where you sort of have to set pen to paper, or if you're Aaron Sorkin, you know, quill to scroll. Or
sure,
whatever.
Yes.
I mean, there was a point where it's like you can sort of almost avoid doing the actual writing, which you may know something about, by just distracting yourself with everything on earth, and including the research and the sort of what you're perceiving as prep work. But you know, at some point you have to start doing it. And I actually started with the chapter kind of in the middle of the book. I thought, well, if I can write this piece of their history, which was when they tried to make a record up in Bearsville that sort of turned into a Shining type nightmare in the woods. So I thought, if I can write that, then I can do it. And so that was sort of the litmus test and the challenge. And there was a couple points just getting through that that I thought, if I can get through this, I can write it. But there was moments where I thought, well, maybe I won't. But once I did, then it was sort of all downhill or up.
Yeah. You see, again, bars high, bars low, downhill, uphill. Guys, we got to lock these metaphors down and stick to one.
Tighten them up.
Yeah, let's tighten up the metaphors. So the band was involved. You spent a lot of time talking to Paul Westerberg and Tommy Stinson. Chris Mars was less
forthcoming. I made efforts with everybody, but he was the only one who really sort of sat it out. But I had interviewed him a bit before I actually started the project in earnest. Doing a, I did a long story for Spin back in 2008. But yeah, and it was, you know, with Bob Stinson having passed away in 95, I didn't have access to him. So you still have to do the work and kind of build the characters and make them three dimensional and flesh out their stories, even if they're not, you don't have the same kind of access as I did to Paul and Tommy. But, you know, dealing with Paul and Tommy was sort of an adventure in itself, you know, going up to see them and dealing with all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was, you know, somebody was asking me outside, like, you know, what was that experience like? And it was good, but I also found I had these weird experiences because I interviewed a couple hundred people, including, like, you know, at one point I was interviewing the guy who sold merch for them, who's a really good guy, who's Jimmy Velvet, as he's known, and he's John Cafferty's cousin of Beaver Brown Band fame. But he works with Morten Andersen, the kicker, the NFL kicker, who was like Swedish Hall of Fame. So at one point I was interviewing him and we went out with Morten Andersen. So I'm like in suburban Atlanta, Georgia, trying to explain to the Swedish NFL kicker what the replacements are. You know? So it's like it took me a lot of places you wouldn't normally expect in a rock and roll book.
And when you finally say, I think we're near the end, and then you have this book, which is such a roller coaster type book, because there's a point when you're reading this and it's just like you just want to wring their necks and you just want to go like, stop drinking. You just want to go, it might go easier if you guys aren't drunk this morning. Like, you just want to scream at them, like, why is this recording session not working? You're drunk.
Yes, or on some sort of horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is amazing also how when you think of bands when they go into the studio and it's like Fleetwood Mac and like these bands that just like, we'll figure it out in the studio. And like you grow up and it's like this, you're into a certain kind of music where that seems like it's the absolute opposite of how your favorite bands operate, where it's just like, where you'd be like, no, the bands I like go in and 3 days later they have an album. Right. But isn't it amazing how it just happens and suddenly a band is as kind of like rooted and raw as these guys. It's like you turn around and like 8 years later, it's just like, they're like, the sessions in the one place didn't work. Right. We'll pick it back up and do it somewhere else next month.
Right. It's like they made Stink in one afternoon in 1982. And then like 7 years later, they're going to Bearsville and Capitol and Cherokee and Paisley Park to make one record. It's like,
yeah.
I think part of that, some of that was the era. By the time you get to the major labels, there was, especially back then when budgets were big and there was almost expectation if you didn't spend half a million dollars, what kind of record are you giving us? If it, you know,
sure.
So
it's that thing. Yeah. It's that thing where it just clearly is expected to be. And just the idea of the budget for that video. Right. How much was the budget for the Bastards of Young video?
Well, that was, I can't
like, remember. Even that one was like, because, like, look, if that budget was more than $450, it's extraneous.
I think that – I don't remember if I included in the book, but the head of the – one of their product manager, one of the executives of the label came and it's like, there's nothing going on in the video. It's the shooting a speaker, but they said like in between shots they were sort of like art directing the speaker. It was like they were
Yeah, let me tell them something about directing videos. But yeah, it really, you finish the book and then at some point, this very intense up and down story, you have to say, Paul Westerberg, I'd like to, send you a copy of the book. Like, what was that like?
Funny you should ask, Tom. So the whole time I was writing the book, typically he at least gives the impression he doesn't read his press and didn't want to read the finished book before it came out.
Okay.
Not surprisingly, at the last minute, he changed his mind and wanted to see a galley, which I had printed just before we were going into the production on the actual book. So,
and now suddenly you're like...
Like Lou Costello as I wait.
Like, hey, big, a galley. He wants the galley. I guess.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll send you a galley. And I FedExed it to make sure he got it. And, and of course, I had the tracking number to make sure he was going to get it. And I checked the delivery on a Saturday morning. And it's like, okay, he's got the book. He signed for it.
Yeah. And you just, how was that weekend?
Yeah, that weekend was terrific. And it got even better that night. I didn't hear from him. Yeah, I figured, well, he's going to take a few days to read or whatever. Yeah. About 3 o'clock that morning, my phone starts ringing. Cell phone starts ringing.
Give me the ringer. First, let's get some context here. What ringer do you have, Bob Mayer? Is it – let me see if I can guess what ringer you have. Does it go like Tony Soprano?
No. No. I did have that at one point.
Does it go – is it the xylophone?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, so
– 3 in the morning. Arguably the worst cell phone sound of all the cell phones available. The ringer, the xylophone goes off. You look and what do you have him entered in as?
Hero? The best, the best part is I've sent the thing. I don't expect to hear from him. I'm not going to let it ruin my weekend. It's a beautiful, it's right before Christmas actually.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, what a great,
I decide I'm going to go to the gym. I go play basketball, have a nice lunch. Probably went to the movies. I was
when
with
you're playing basketball. Yes. Not to take it off target.
Sure.
Where do you what kind of player are you like?
I play well.
Zach Randolph.
No, I'm much more like Steve Novak. I would say
Steve Novak. So you are hurt.
I'm hurt, and I shoot 3 pointers alternately, basically.
So you're on the IR. You show up at the playground.
Yeah.
On the injured list. So now you get, now the phone rings. It's 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning. And I do have his number, but his number generally comes up unknown. But it's a very specific type of unknown number. So basically, it's like its own form of caller ID. Mm-hmm. So I know who it is. And I remember hearing the phone ring, turning over in bed, looking at the phone, sort of sighing. And, you know, I was in a fog. I was deep asleep, but instantly that sound, you know, and when I realized it wasn't my, you know, somebody, a family member calling with an emergency, and I realized it was unknown, probably the terror was even greater. And I turned to my then fiance about to be my wife, and I just said, well, that's not good.
Yeah.
And he left a voicemail,
Okay.
And it, as you imagine, the guy having read a 500-page book about his life in such detail, most of it occurring in his 20s, mm-hmm. was probably a bit of a mind warp for him. Mm-hmm. And I think he was unsettled by the experience, let's say, initially. Okay. And so his voicemail was reflective of that. Mm-hmm. So suffice to say, I didn't get back to bed, mm-hmm. But I let it go to voicemail. Yeah. I figured I'll call him in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Sleep was unsettled that evening, Tom.
Yeah. But then when you finally get on the horn with him.
Yes, I get on the horn with him. So I called and left a proper message in the morning. He screened his calls. He didn't answer. Said, hey, you know, I heard you got your voicemail. And I said, call me back. Happy to talk. Mm-hmm. And then actually I went back and played basketball the second day trying to sort of burn some of this adrenaline that had been coursing through my body for the last 10 hours.
Yeah. You're trying to burn off the unburnable at this point.
And I saw the phone ring. I had kept it because I figured he was going to call back. And so that standing in my shorts and high tops outside, mm-hmm. I had about a 2-hour conversation with him where he expressed, I wouldn't say displeasure, but discomfort with some of the things we talked about. Mm-hmm. And our arrangement always from the beginning was that it was, even though they were participating, it was technically unauthorized. It was my book to write. They didn't have editorial control. But, you know, mm-hmm. at the same time, you worry what somebody's response is going to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And so we went over it a couple hours. There were some tough moments in there. But ultimately, he was like, well, I got to go make dinner. I got to go have dinner. So mm-hmm. and that was it. You know, he expressed some very positive things about the book. And I just think it, you know, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want anybody bringing that sort of forensic detail to my life, particularly if my life in my 20s.
No, but, I don't want any.
No, sorry about that. Oh,
sorry. What's that?
Sorry, I'm sweeping up.
You're sweeping up?
Yeah, I'm the maintenance guy here.
Uh-huh. I don't...
I'll let you guys go.
No, wait.
Is this a radio show that's going on here?
Yes, this is a radio show. Oh. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The Replacements. This is Bob Mayer. He wrote a Replacements book.
Oh, hey.
Called Trouble Boys.
Oh, should I ask him why Asking Me Lies wasn't the follow-up to I'll Be You?
What?
What's See that?
Wait,
come back. Hey.
What's it?
Why don't you come back? No, come on back.
I was curious. I was
what was that question?
Oh, I was wondering why Asking Me Lies wasn't the follow-up to I'll Be You. I know Aching to Be was the next video, and I think Back to Back went to radio, but none of them really caught fire.
Why,
I think Asking Me Lies would have done great.
Why don't you have a seat? Have a seat, buddy. Steve? You said Steve.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
This is...
You guys are in the middle of doing something.
Sit down.
No, wait. Wait, how did you... That's interesting that you, a random maintenance man here, would be aware that... In fact, no, you were saying you thought Asking Me... He's talking about The Replacements, third major label album, Don't Tell a Soul, mm-hmm. the first single, which was I'll Be You. Mm-hmm. And he was asking why Asking Me Lies wasn't the follow-up to mm-hmm. that.
Right. Which, seems logical to me.
Yeah, that's pretty deep, though.
Yeah. Steve, can you get on that mic
a little
more?
Yeah. How's that? So you have a book?
Yeah, it's about a 500-page book of The Replacements, biography of The Replacements called Trouble Boys. It's done really well. I'm surprised you haven't...
You write down Trouble Boys.
Yeah.
So you talk to all kinds of people?
Yeah, I spent about 8 years doing interviews, researching the book. I had access to the band. I did almost 300 interviews.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Talk to Paul Stark?
Yes, I talked to Paul Stark, the co-owner of Twin Tone Records, many times. Yeah.
Right. How about Tom Byrne?
You're saying you haven't read my book, but you're aware of who Tom Byrne is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, Tom Byrne was the original or one of the original lead singers in the band that became The Replacements.
Dog Breath. Yeah. But before that, he was an oat with Paul.
Yeah. How... You're saying you really haven't read my book and you're aware of all this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Because that
you talk to Bugs?
Bugs.
Yeah.
Who's Bugs?
Tom Petty's guitar tech.
Oh.
Oh, Bugs Wydell. Yeah, I did actually talk to him kind of towards the end of the... Yeah. That's interesting. Okay.
Scott McCoy?
Sure, of the Young Fresh Fellows. Of course I talked to Scott McCoy.
We shared many stages. A lot of drunken nights, I guess. What about Denny Carlson?
Denny Carlson. Oh, Yeah, well, so Thomas was in the early part of the book. There was a guy who was passing by the Replacements rehearsal, who they never met, didn't know, was just heard the band playing, and he told them, suggested that they give their demo tape to Peter Jesperson at Twin Tone, who eventually signed them and became their manager. I didn't actually know his last name was Denny. Neither did the band. How did you, or Carlson? We only had the first name. How did you know his last name was Denny Carlson?
Oh well, Denny ended up here in Newbridge. Yeah, he ended up managing Scums, which of course was the Quin Cities only punk rock clothing store.
Yeah.
You talked to Mike Anderson? I'm sorry, Detective Mike Anderson.
Detective Mike Anderson. I interviewed a lot of people, but that name doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, he's the officer, you know, at the top of the stink EP before kids won't follow.
Oh, sure.
You know, he says, yeah. Everybody grab yourself and go, and no one goes to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know the officer had it. I mean, I researched this for almost a decade, but I didn't, I guess I'd talked to you beforehand.
What about Jeff Sorensen?
Who is Jeff Sorensen? Are these...
Jeff Sorensen, that is the guy who was, I didn't talk to him, but I believe that's who was the hand model on the cover of Pleased to Meet Me, shaking hands with Paul Westerberg. You know, he was mm-hmm. representing the record. How do you...
You didn't talk to him, though?
No. I didn't talk to
him. So these are,
But the book's good?
Well,
I think the book's great.
That's what people say, have been saying. It's got a lot of nice reviews.
What would you hope that the other hand model from the cover of Pleased to Meet Me would say in an interview about getting his hand photographed?
I don't know. I just thought he'd have some good insight into, you know, the dimensions of Paul's sleeve rip. You know, did that play into anything? You know, just questions anybody would ask, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's as comprehensive as I could make it, I guess.
It's a very well researched book.
Huh. Did you talk to anybody here in Newbridge about it?
No. You know, I mean, I talked to a lot of folks, a lot of cities, a lot of clubs. The Replacements obviously were played, but Newbridge didn't come up in my research, and I did have access to a lot of people, a lot of road documents, but I couldn't explore all of them. Let's say that.
I asked because that they played here all the time.
I mean, I knew they came through Jersey a lot, but I don't, you know.
Yeah. They used to play this place called Los Amigos. Well, you know, Los Amigos is still a functioning Mexican restaurant, but they used to have a stage in the back, and they played all the time. They played a lot of cool shows there. A lot of bands play there. Husker Du, Let's Active, Mother 13. Mm. Rumpelstiltskin, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
No, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
So Tom, comma...
Patty.
Patty.
And the Heartbreakers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was that... For some reason, I'm just picturing a band. If they're going to call themselves that, was there anybody else up there other than Tom and Patty?
No.
So...
Sometimes they'd have a dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he would be called...
The Heartbreakers.
A dog was known as...
Well, I know of a guy who had a dog named Rollins Band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always thought that was a cool name for a pet.
It is. Yeah.
Rollins Band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Tom, comma, Patty.
Yeah.
And the Heartbreakers, which is a dog.
Yeah.
They played at Los Amigos.
They did. They were like an early scum rock band.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know how Kurt Weill plays scum rock?
I don't know if he plays scum rock so much as...
No, he plays scuzz rock. You're right.
Okay. I didn't know... What's the difference between scum and scuzz rock?
Scuzz is a little more cigarette smoked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kurt plays scuzz... I didn't know call what he does scuzz rock.
Yeah. But look, I'm getting far off topic here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's that I'm sure this is in your book, the day that the Replacements have to leave Tommy Stinson behind in New York.
Sure, that was in 83. They got separated at some point. This is before call waiting and cell phones, and so they had a gig in Boston and they couldn't get a hold of Tommy, and so they just left him and played the gig in Boston and then came back and picked him up.
Mm-hmm. What's rarely reported about that story is that they actually played Newbridge on the way back before picking up Tommy.
Huh. Okay.
And I played bass.
You played bass.
I did, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Because he was, because Tommy got left behind.
Exactly, yeah.
You played bass.
They needed some money, you know, mm-hmm. to keep the tour going. So they stopped at Los Amigos and played a pickup show, and I sat in on bass, and they loved me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They said I was the best ever. Better than Tommy. And they said I'd actually be in the band if I wasn't 4'8" and albino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you guys for not mentioning that when I came in.
No, I didn't even notice. I was just looking at your hat.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it say on that?
Well, it's a sombrero.
Yeah, but it's got a little, like an iron-on on it.
It does,
looks
yeah.
like it says, keep on, that's not trucking. I can't say what that says.
No. It's, but you can say what's above it, though. Arriba.
Yeah.
Undulate.
And keep on bleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So is that like one of your, is that like a words to live by
it
for
is.
You?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It served me well when I was in the hut.
The hut?
Yeah.
Jail?
Yeah.
You were in jail?
Yeah. We don't need to get into it.
No. I would find that interesting.
Well, I was selling black market CDs at the Newbridge swap meet, and Officer Harrops nailed my ass.
Black market?
Yeah.
What do you mean by black market? Black market.
Well, you know what bootlegs are, right?
Yes.
Well, I was selling bootleg copies of the Weather Report album, Black Market.
Weather Report, yeah. That kind of jazz.
Joe Zawinul.
Uh-huh.
You know Joe Zawinul?
I don't know him personally, but
oh, you don't?
I'm aware of his body of work.
You know, he wears a beanie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would that be a book, maybe your next book, if you're trying to think? You're right there?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beanie Boys, the Joe Zawinul story.
Wallet.
Uh-huh.
I have a lead wallet.
That was a very heavy wallet.
It's made of lead, but I've got a lot of money in it, too.
Mm-hmm. So you go around with a lot of money.
I do, yeah. I'm the Gene Simmons of night sweepers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A weather report, to follow this up?
Yeah.
Weather report biography, spend the next 8 years working on that?
Yeah, I don't know that my passion for that sort of fusion jazz runs quite that deep to commit to it, but you know, you're piquing my interest.
Well, do one on Return to Forever then.
Oh, well, now that's a possibility.
Okay, yeah. So I got caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Davies sentenced me to 2 months.
Okay.
But when I heard the whooshing followed by the dull thud under his robe, you know.
Because for...
I asked him if his pant pump was out of oil, and then he sentenced me to 10 years cruel labor.
Cruel labor,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's the same as hard labor, but they make you break the rocks with a pool noodle. You know those pool noodles?
Yeah, those are the things that people, they're like floaties,
yeah.
Kind of, like people can float on in a pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many rocks did you break with that pool noodle?
Like one. In 10 years.
In 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that I thought you were going to say zero.
Well, see, I did. I surprised you. I did all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot of cool things in the when I was in jail.
Mm-hmm. Like what? What other things?
Well, I don't know if I can say it's on the air, but you know how prison guys give each other tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a tattoo.
Okay.
It's on my wimple.
Ugh.
And
no,
and it says Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
So is this Replacements Associate?
Well, my friends call me Replacement Steve. Yeah. Oh. Sometimes
your friends call you Replacement
Steve.
They do.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I don't even want to know if that's associated with the Replacement song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about
it. I haven't done it yet, but if, you know, if it comes to it, I'll point to it and say, look what Gary's got.
Stop it.
What?
Come on, Steve.
Yeah, that is a song reference, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Replacement song reference.
Yes, to one of their Kiss songs.
Well, yeah, it's one of their gutter rock songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of their throwaways.
Yeah. They always had a song like Dose of Thunder or, yeah. Right?
Maybe you could answer me this.
I'll try.
Why did they... There's several instances of them. The second song on couple records were not weak, but...
Sort of. Well, they build... I think there was probably some building up to
I'll
the
Buy.
Third. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back and, to Back.
Yes.
What was the second song on All Shook Down?
Well, you stumped me. Replacement Steve.
Let's IMDb this.
Well, IMDb is not the place. That, it was an album, not a movie.
Sure it was.
I'm just having...
Wait, what do you mean?
All the records were movies.
All the Replacements album?
Yeah.
No, they were albums.
Oh.
That's why they were... All their records were records.
No, but they're on those discs.
No, those are not DVDs.
Yeah, they're not
oh,
DVDs.
Oh, no wonder they wouldn't play in my DVD player.
Yeah, that might have something to do with why they didn't. So you thought
Well,
that
now I feel bad because I caused such a scene every time I bought one.
Uh-huh.
I returned them.
You thought they were just movies that for some reason you bought a bum copy
I did, movie. Yeah. I thought, man, I got some terrible luck.
And what would you think a Replacements movie would be? Like the movie for Please to Meet Me. What would that be?
Okay, well, all right. Exterior. Hand modeling school. Jeff Sorensen. He's teaching a class on hand modeling. And he looks out in the crowd of students and he says, "You, the young gutter snipe looking guy, come on up here." That's Paul Westerberg.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Oh, you poor thing. Your sleeve is torn. Let me shake your hand." And then, you know, and then they take the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and this guy, Alex Chilton, comes into frame.
Okay.
And then they talk a little bit. And then one of them says, I don't know. And then they just start talking about what they don't know. And
so
and then
stupid.
Later on, one of them goes, "Man, I got some nightclub jitters, baby."
Replacement Steve.
And then the next scene, it's a dream sequence, and this one guy, he's on a ledge of a building.
Yeah, I wish, think I wish
and he
I
can't
was
come
on
out. And then he,
a building.
And then he wakes up and he goes, "Oh, never mind." And then the next scene is in a pool hall.
Okay.
And they're getting really muddy, and they're throwing mud at each other.
Uh-huh.
And then they make up, and they're drinking wine.
Ugh.
And then there's this thing in the air that they're walking through, and it's a skyway. And then they can't hardly wait to go back to this other place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the movie. End
that's
credits.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's not quite factual, I should say. I think Jeff Sorensen, the hand model, was just the brother of the photographer who took the cover. So I don't know if you're basing on that on, you know, actual factual things, but I think that's a stretch.
I don't know. Look, why are you guys grilling me? I'm just a lowly maintenance man sweeping. I didn't do anything to you guys.
No, you didn't say we did anything.
I'm sorry. No, I got temper problems. But I'll tell you, man, my life is back on track.
Really?
Thanks to my fiancé.
Okay.
Sydney Leathers.
Wait, who's your fiancé?
Sydney Leathers?
Sydney.
Oh, you may have heard of her. She's in a movie. She's a movie star.
Wait, I watched this movie the other day, Wiener.
Yeah, yeah. She's the star of it.
No, it's a documentary. It's not exactly the... She's the woman who was sexting with Anthony Wiener and then came forward and publicized their sex and then she did a porn movie, I think, based on the exchanges with Anthony Wiener, and then confronted him at his election concession speech. She was going to try to confront him at. And then I remember her running through a McDonald's trying to chase down Anthony Wiener, who was running from her.
Ugh.
That's your...
Ugh. Well, she didn't mention any of that. I haven't seen the movie. She didn't mention any of that. She just said that she was a star of this movie called Wiener that was just opening.
Mm-hmm.
So, ooh, we got to work through some stuff, I guess, before our wedding.
Uh-huh.
And we were hoping you were going to officiate the wedding.
You were hoping I would officiate your wedding?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Well, okay. You know, you're a big deal
mm-hmm.
here, and we love those impressions you do.
Yeah,
and,
well, okay.
And we were hoping, like, maybe you could do the ceremony as, I don't know, like... like Joe Namath or something. What would that be like if you were to officiate our wedding as Joe Namath?
Well, now you piqued my, I gotta see. What would that be like? I think it would go, if I, what, you're Steve.
Right, yeah.
And Sydney.
Sydney, yeah.
Okay. I think if I was officiating your wedding as Joe Namath, it would probably go a little something like, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the blessed union of replacement Steve and his beautiful, soon-to-be spouse, Sydney Leathers. And they are to be bonded in holy matrimony." That's what Joe Namath would sound like marrying you guys.
See, I think this is going to be great. I'm very excited about it.
Oh, so I'm actually going to... You're actually interested in me doing that?
I want you to do it. Of course I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
Well, that's... Yeah. I guess we can talk about it.
Oh, wait, hang on.
What is that?
Oh, no.
Wait, that was your ringer?
Yeah. Yes, dear. No, dear. Yes, dear. No, dear. Maybe, dear. No, dear. Yes, dear. No, dear. No, dear. No. Yes, dear. No, dear. Okay, dear. Oh, boy.
What is it, replacement?
Nice job, Steve. You blew it.
What happened?
Well, I was about 4 weeks away, 4 weeks away from pulling a stepfather on my current family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to open my big mouth and let the leathers out of the bag.
Mm-hmm. You were going to do what?
Pull a stepfather?
What does pull a stepfather mean?
You haven't seen The Stepfather?
The movie?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen the movie
The Stepfather. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Remember what happens?
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is Terry O'Quinn, the star of the movie, he plays this guy who's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a family that he is with. And he kills them, and then he goes to the next family that he's already set up,
mm-hmm.
and he has a family life with them, and then it just goes on and on like that for the whole.
So you were saying you were planning on you say I'm gonna pull a stepfather,
yeah.
Which makes it sound a little tamer than what it actually is, which is.
Oh no, I wasn't gonna ice my current wife, Sheila Larson, and our kids Rieger and Habib,
mm-hmm.
No, but. I was going to vanish from their lives quicker than you've been reaching for that voice modulator all night.
Hey, there's no voice modulator
sure there is.
Back here.
Bob, Bob, you've seen it, right?
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty obvious.
There's nothing here.
You're switching it on and off.
Just don't look, okay?
All right.
None of your business.
Yeah. Look, you're judging me, okay? Uh-huh. I don't like it. I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one who ever was.
Okay. It seems to be another trend that's running through a lot of conversations I have. People really hammer me and then pull a religious quote when the heat's on them.
Right. Well, it's true, though. But, I mean... I thought I was safe, and how could I have imagined that my wife Sheila Larson would be tuning into this child CB radio show?
Mm-hmm. That's not.
I got caught.
Child CB
I don't like
radio
it.
Show.
Well, look, I gotta go. I gotta turn the old charm on for those two hags, or else I'm sleeping in the old Steve-mobile tonight.
Oh, that's charming.
Hey, do they sell erotic chocolates at the Quick Stop?
I don't think so.
Ugh. What here can I bring them to cause them to not be mad at me?
Hmm.
What's that green thing, that puppet? What is that?
No, that's Vance. You can't take that.
Okay, well, can you give me, like, $10?
What about this?
Oh, what is it?
It's a Minions keyboard?
Yeah, that'll do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Write you a letter tomorrow.
Ugh. Yeah.
Tonight I can't hold a pen. Someone's got a stamp that I can borrow.
Okay, enough.
I promise not to blow the address again. I can't wait.
Stop.
Hardly wait.
All right.
Lights that flash.
He's going into another verse.
Through the eve. No.
No, don't start. No.
Just give him. Wow. Well.
He's starting a whole new song.
It's a different song. Just give him the keyboard.
Down on all five.
All right, Steve.
Shows promise, Steve, yeah. But keep working at
get
it.
Get me
replacement
out of
Steve.
This stinking fresh air.
Get out.
How young are you?
Okay, go.
How old am I?
Oh.
It's making me question the whole last 8 years I've spent.
The rain dancing in the night.
Yeah. That's what you spent the last 8 years working on.
I know. I think I blacked out after he told me he had that wimple tattoo, so.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. But you know what I do want to talk about?
Yes.
A giant dog. Right. A giant dog. How about that? Hey, Mike. He left. He got his t-shirt money. And he split. That song was called Jizney. From the album Pile, which I've played every week for the last 43 months. It's on Merge. Good stuff, everyone. Did I want to tell you? Did I mention the mural? Yes, I did, but I'm going to mention it again. There's a Best Show mural up in New York City. The Bushwick Ridgewood Borders, Axis. It's an amazing mural. It's up for the month of June. And what is it? Yeah, it's us saying. You know what we're saying with that? Yeah, the Best Show's here. And the rest of you. And I tell you, I couldn't put it on the mural. I wanted to say, every other podcast can suck it, but they wouldn't let me. But now it says your favorite podcast sucks. And it's up. The corner of Wyckoff Avenue and Norman Street by the Halsey L stop. And everybody who goes, you get your picture taken in front of it. You Instagram it or tweet it at me. Hashtag it. Best Show Rules NYC. And I'm giving prizes out every single day as long as this mural is up. Surprises, there's not going to be a, go there the next day, there'll be a Mass's Tavern mural. Mike with these shirts. If he mentions a shirt one more time, I'm going to barf. Play the record, I get up for a second, he's like, do you think you can plug the shirts one more time? It's like sales are a little soft. Like, what do you mean soft? He's like, I'm talking, in the last 30 seconds, I only sold two. I'll tell you. He's made more money on this show than any of us. His headshots and his t-shirts. He's got a calendar. That just, to me, that's just a bridge too far, a calendar. What is this cat? First of all, I hear about these things during the show. He knows not to mention it off the air because I'll tell him there's no way you're doing a calendar. What would be an AP Mike calendar? The what? No, don't come. Don't let him in here.
Oh, remember that Creation of Manchester thing with the guy who
looked like... Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I'm going to be in it and create, monthly scenarios.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be in that same pose. Yeah.
Well, I'll say this, though, Mike. That thing you're referencing, you must be talking about... You must be talking about Marilyn Monroe was skirt blowing up on the great. That's nobody remembers that thing. These things, they come and they go, Mike. You're hanging onto some meme from 7 months ago.
That could be interesting.
This is what I hope happens. And I mean this with nothing but goodwill, Mike. I hope you take the money from the headshots and you take the money from the shirts. And you put it all into the calendar, and you lose big. I hope you lose big on the calendar.
You gotta throw stuff against the wall.
So I hope you flame out on this calendar. And then you'll be selling calendars for 30 cents outside the Lincoln Tunnel, right?
I think I can get a good price on shipping.
All right, get out of here.
Hey, Mike. He might call you.
Okay, yeah, you might get a call. Who's good here, Mike? While they're set, are you setting up? You still doing that? You good? You guys do it. You can. Yeah. You want the headphones? Pat can here. Pat, here's some headphones. I'll just talk.
Yeah.
So when I was eating at this restaurant a couple weeks ago. The same one where the guy was reviewing the Falcon Crest. He was talking about Falcon Crest with his dinner partner. A few weeks ago, he was sitting there talking all about Desi Arnaz and going so deep into the thing. And then it's like, then I realize this guy's a priest. Talking about Falcon Crest and Desi Arnaz. I made one check, note baby. Here about a conversation that somebody else was having there.
Check, baby.
How are you? You would have liked this check. One, Mike. There was a woman, there was a date going on at a nearby table.
All right, check.
And the woman saying that she starts talking so loudly. I'm like three tables away and she's talking about her breast augmentation surgery. It's like I went from a B to a D. And it's like I'm trying to eat. What am I eating at the Hustler Superstore? Look, if I was getting a scone at the Hustler Superstore when I was in Los Angeles, as I've said a few times before, driving past the down Sunset Boulevard, you see Ron Jeremy sitting and drinking coffee outside the Hustler Superstore. It's a little on the nose, Ron. Can't take that to a Coffee Bean. Are we good?
We're good.
Now, KurtVile.com.
Yep.
How are you, buddy?
That's good. I'm good. That's good. That's my site, and that's me.
Yeah. Now, your album, Believe I'm Going Down.
Yeah.
This is a tour de force, this album.
You like it?
I don't like it. I love it! I know, right?
You know, like, what is that, Super Subway Comedian? When this, you know, wait, you like Suicide's first album, but do you like Suicide's second album?
I like the first album.
You don't like the second album? Super Subway Comedian. You know that song?
I don't remember.
Come on, Tom.
All right, fine. I'll start listening to the second album. Yeah, I'm scared by those guys. Right?
It's like got this disco beat, and it's on every, like, accent. He's like, whoosh, whoosh. He's like talking about just this guy, a super subway comedian on the subway. He's like, he can't get a job just to doing his thing. All he wants to do is to make people laugh. You gotta check it out. Yeah. And he's like, watch out, man. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna smile, man. Yeah, here he comes. It's all like that. It's, you gotta listen to it. You're gonna love it.
I'm gonna say, there's a reason why. You just told me why. I don't know the second Suicide album that well.
Why?
The song you were just telling me. I could picture myself going,
no, you'll love
it. Yeah, I'm not into this so much.
Give it a chance.
Look, now I will.
Yeah.
Because you only like six albums.
And that's not true.
And four of them are yours.
I love this running gag.
These are the only albums. This is your favorite albums. Number one, Believe I'm Going Down. Number
Chris
two,
Chris Christopherson, Me and Bobby McGee.
Okay. Number three, Waking on a Pretty Days. Number
Hate
four.
That. Hate that album.
Number four, Square Shells EP. Number five, Black and Blue by the Rolling Stones. Yeah. Number six,
I like Cherry Baby, yeah.
You like Rumors?
Yeah, I like Cherry Baby. Yeah.
Your favorite albums are Rumors, Black and Blue, Rumors and your own out. Albums.
Rumors is played out. Platinum played out.
So Rumors is played out. What's an album that people wouldn't expect you to like, Kurt Vile, that you love?
You know, my new favorite album is Chris Christopherson's first album, Well, it was just called Christopherson, but the better album cover, and they like showcase the hit once it became a hit. They call it Me and Bobby McGee. That's a great album. You know that? You like him? You like?
I like Chris Christopherson, sure.
Like Me and Bobby McGee, it cuts in. He's like talking to the session guys. Like, it's like a big hit, and it's like right before it, they just have him talking to the guitar player or something. He's like, if it sounds country, man, that's what it is. It's a country song. Mm-hmm. Yep. One, two, three. Busted flat in Baton Rouge. Just cuts right into it.
Now, is this before or after the Blade movies?
Blade? Is he in Blade?
Yeah, he plays Whistler in the Blade movies.
It's before. Blade sounds like 80s. Is it 70s?
No, it's 90s. It's Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, of course it's his
he
first
He played
solo
Whistler.
Record.
Remember he played Whistler in the Blade movies? And no. He had those sunglasses?
Never saw that.
Remember when Blade, he threw the sunglasses to Blade and said, use this.
No, because I don't see it.
So you're saying I should check out pre-Blade Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, and Suicide's second album.
Okay. All right. Now you have your guitar.
I do.
You're going to play a song.
Yeah, I had big ideas of what to play, but I think maybe I'll just play my big radio hit. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, you do whatever you want, KurtVile.com.
Right. Now?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, didn't recognize the man in the mirror. Then I laughed and I said, silly me, that's just me. Then I proceeded to brush some stranger's teeth, but they were my teeth. And I was weightless, quivering like some leaf come in the window of a restroom. I couldn't tell you what the hell it was supposed to mean, cause it was a Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Saturday came around, I said, who's my stupid clown dog in my bathroom singing? All he ever wanted was to be someone in life that was just like, all I wanted to just have fun, live my life like son of a gun. I could be 1,000 miles away, still mean what I say. Then I woke up this morning, didn't recognize the man in the mirror. Then I laughed and I said, silly me, that's just me. Then I proceeded to not comb some stranger's hair, never would my style. But I couldn't tell you what the hell it was supposed to mean, cause it was a Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then Saturday. But he was sporting all my clothes that got say pretty pimpin'.
Woo!
he ever wanted was to be a man. But he was always a little too cute to be a minute under marbles lost. He was always a thousand miles away while still standing in front of your face. Then he woke up this morning, didn't recognize the boy in the mirror, then laughed, said, silly me, that's just me. Then I proceeded, brushed some stranger's teeth, but they were my teeth, and I was weightless, quivering like some leaf come in the window of a restroom. I couldn't tell you what the hell it was supposed to mean, cause it was a Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then Saturday. But he was sporting all my clothes that got, say, pretty pimpin'.
Kurt. Kurt Vile.
Sorry, I didn't feel like jamming it out.
We've got Kurt Vile in studio. Now, Kurt, that song...
Really great to have Kurt Vile on the show.
That song, Pretty Pimpin'.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, when you wrote that, what were you thinking? The man in the mirror, is that a...
Were you really looking into the mirror? And were you like, who is this person in the mirror? And were you worried about being sued by Michael Jackson's song about the man in the mirror? Simultaneously.
Are you going to play another song?
No.
You looked like you were ready to.
No, this is one of my...
That's your default
setting. This is one of my lovable ticks.
Sure. Like,
so permanent air guitar.
So it's not your...
No. No, I can get up and go at any time, Tom.
I know you can get up and go at any time. Hey, Bob... You want to say you can sit in here if you want?
Sure.
Lay some riffs down. Hear some riffs.
All right.
Colors on the street. Red, white, and blue.
Oh.
That's it? Or is it that's stating
look,
something?
You that was a riff.
Thanks.
Hey, how did you get for you're from Philly, but then you're interested in all these things like banjos and I mean you're supposed to be interested in the Electric Love Muffin.
Is that a Philly thing?
I think.
Electric right? Love Muffin?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, well...
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. But you got this, like, this traditional background.
Al the Tradition.
Al the Tradition. Where did that come from?
Well, I don't know. My dad was a bluegrass freak, mm-hmm. sort of. Not even, you know, we just always play bluegrass and old-time music, so it's kind of embedded...
Mm-hmm.
In some of us in the family. That's all.
Paul, this gentleman.
He's really good at finger picking.
He's not coming, we found.
He was going to be a fun guest.
Yeah, we did not announce.
It was the only reason I talked about him so much in the front end of this,
yeah.
of our visit.
Yeah, it's because this dimwit's supposed to show
the
up.
The only reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he calls you and is like.
No, he literally called. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be there at 11:40. I'm like, that's perfect because that's exactly what I would have liked you to come at the last 20 minutes. And he's like, and then he called me back in. He's like, I took a wrong turn, and now the GPS is saying 1 a.m. I was like, what wrong turn do you take?
It's north.
Wrong turn do you take that at first it's 11:40 and then it's 1 a.m.?
Yeah, it's the turnpike. Yeah. There's no wrong turn. You get if you're going from Philly to here, you get on the turnpike and you don't get off till you're here.
Yeah, well, he was coming from Westchester.
No, well, he's that's.
And he said he was on 476 somehow. The whole thing sounded official. I was like, what do you mean 476? So what, did he accidentally get on the Northeast Extension or something? I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, Paul Vile. Hey, Mike? Any of these calls good? One. Mike's telling me to go to line one. Best Show, you're on.
Hi, this is Kenneth from Kansas City. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome to the show, Kenneth.
How's your night going tonight?
It's going great.
Excellent, excellent. I'm just down walking around in the streets of New Orleans. My band is on tour. We have a day off tonight, so we're just out chilling around. But we're tomorrow night in New Orleans, we're playing at Circle Bar, which I'm excited about. I've never played in New Orleans before. And then the next night we're playing with a giant dog at Motel Hell in Austin.
Tell them their friend Tom said hi.
I definitely will. We played a house show with them in Kansas City a few weeks ago.
What are we doing with this call?
Huh?
What are you going down the whole tour itinerary?
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Didn't mean to do that.
Don't worry.
I was just saying, we played with them in a house show in our town, and now we're playing with them at a house show in their town, so I'm excited about it.
That's exciting. Anything else?
I guess that's about
their town, now my town, first their town, now my town, first their town.
First their town, now my town. Yeah. Bruce Springsteen bangs his head, and then that's the song he writes. First their town, now my
first
town.
First show I played, was that? Oh, whatever. That's not.
Best show.
Oh, hey.
Hi, to whom?
This is Robin in Toronto.
Robin in Toronto. What's going on? You're here with Kurt Vile and Bob Mayer.
Sorry?
You're here with Kurt Vile, rock star Kurt Vile, and superstar author Bob Mayer.
Hello.
What's up? What's up, Robin?
Not too much. I was trying to find out from Mike what the topic was, but I didn't get a chance.
There's no topic! Ow. The topic is I have famous people in the studio. Hey, Mike. Mike, tighten it up. Tighten it up. It's not all T-shirts. Okay?
Line one.
This guy with his he puts people on thing waiting for the topic. Best Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Turn your radio down.
Yeah, thank you.
Jello Girl.
Is this Jello Man?
It is.
Brother of Kurt Vile, Paul Vile, a.k.a. Jello Man?
That is correct.
What happened, buddy? How'd you get so waylaid?
Listen, Bert doesn't believe me.
Wait, what did you call him?
Bert?
Yeah.
Bert. So he calls you Bert.
Yeah.
Kurt Vile.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Bert doesn't believe that you got lost?
I believe as usual.
Where are you right now, buddy? He's gone.
Is he gone?
Yeah.
He just doesn't believe that I got disconnected.
No. Hey, Coco, you want to come in here?
You know.
Wait, what?
He doesn't believe me that I.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't believe that. Hey.
Oh no,
it's Paul. He doesn't believe that.
He doesn't believe that I screw things up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, can you believe? I cannot believe. As I live and breathe, it's Coco from Coco.
Coco from Muskogo.
Coco from Muskogo. Coco from Muskogo.
It works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you, Coco from Muskoka?
I'm great, Tom.
It's not Coco from Muskoka. No. That's. Hey, you have your banjo with you, right?
Yeah.
Can you play something on your banjo?
What do you want me to play? Red Apples for Tom?
You did that one last time, about a few years ago.
What other one do you want to hear?
I don't know. What would you play on your banjo?
I got to go check it out. You want to go check it out?
Could you? I seriously would love it.
All right.
I'd love when you play banjo, Kurt.
All right.
Thank you, Kurt. Oh, Susanna. You're going to do a 45-minute version like Crazy Horse, right? How are you, Coco?
I'm doing so great. Tom, can I just take this opportunity to wish a happy birthday to a friend?
Your friend is?
Geneva.
I wish I could say yes, but okay. You can't. Sorry. Sorry, Coco.
I just wanted to...
I wish there was a way...
There are rules here, and I've just got to follow them.
Yes. Sorry, Geneva. No birthday wishes sent your way. Do I know this, Geneva? I know Geneva. Well, happy birthday, Geneva, of course. Now, you, Coco, what brings you to these parts?
Oh, I'm just a rambling. No.
You're just rambling. No, you're... Look, I don't want to say this.
Tom?
Yes?
I'm working on a record right now.
Yeah?
And when I get home,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to record it.
You're going to record this solo album you were talking about because you are on Merge Records now.
I am. I'm a Merge Records solo artist, Coco Hames.
That's so exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm so excited. And what a show tonight.
I know, right?
A lot of...
Bob Mayer was here. Do you know Bob?
I do. We are acquainted.
Uh-huh. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's an okay guy.
Pretty good guy.
Yes. I didn't read the book.
Look. It's long.
Yeah.
But there are some pictures in it, which helps me.
I got bored with the pictures, even.
Yeah. It's just like, are they black and white?
I was like, it's the same guys in all of these pictures.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, why? There's so many different people out there. Why can't all the pictures be of different people?
That's what I mean. And there's so many stories in the book. Where's their picture is what I was wondering.
Yeah, I'm like, and I started reading the book, and I was like, I don't even like the Replacements.
It's like,
this whole thing's just about this one band?
It wasn't what I thought.
I know, and then it's like, wait, now they're talking about an album I don't like. And they keep talking about it.
Are you guys talking about my book?
What?
What? Oh, no. What would make... No. We're talking about this book about another band. It's about Beat Rodeo. It's a book. The book. It's so great. I'm telling you. I read this book. It's like such a hard thing for a book this long to not be. First of all, I want to congratulate you. You did not start the book in the 1700s. Like so many rock books. What is the furthest back that a rock book has gone?
I imagine probably to the 1600s or 1700s, one of those Beatles books talking about the... To be honest, I did cut a paragraph from the finished book about the migration or the emigration of the first Westerbergs and how they took
Good.
The West...
Well, that was the right cut to make. I'm going to congratulate... Look, just because you wrote it...
Yeah, right.
It didn't mean we needed to read it.
Right, exactly.
A thing. You read these books. I'm reading a thing. It's like a Highlander is going on, and it turns out it's a book. It's a book about Limp Bizkit. Meanwhile, I'm reading about Fred Durst's. It's 18 generations earlier. His father dancing around a volcano. Like he's crawling out of the soup.
I have to say it was very felt like I was coming full circle here in KV because actually the first real big research trip I did to New York 2009, mm-hmm. I saw KV open for Big Star.
Yes.
What turned out to be the last ever Big Star show at Masonic Temple in Brooklyn.
It was the last ever Big Star show, and that's the night that we met. And then suddenly, out of that came a great friendship. Yes. What would you think about? What about this? What about this for your next book, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Pretty Days? Question mark. The true story of Kurt Vile and all of the Vile family.
Well, that would definitely, I'll be honest, that'd be an interesting story because everybody in my family is their own version of a freak. Often understated, but if you got deep,
really?
An interesting book. Because I was going to say, when I thought you were like, oh, you should just make another music book about mm-hmm. Kurt, there's no reason whatsoever to write a book about any modern artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw like a random book about Beck, for instance. Like, mm-hmm. times have changed. There's nothing. It's like, oh, Kurt Vile. Then Kurt Vile. Then he went home from tour. Then mm-hmm. he recorded his next album on Pro Tools. Then he went on tour. Then he recorded his next album on Pro Tools. So boring. No, but if you're going to talk about all my siblings, that will be pretty deep.
I think you put the book, whoever does this book on the Vile family, there's like 4 pages are about you. Right?
That's fine.
My fear in doing that is that Jell-O Man would somewhere in the middle of it hijack it, and it would no longer be a Vile family biography, but a sort of a Jell-O Man memoir.
That'd be well.
Yeah.
If he got it, if he got a hold of it like that.
He's ripped now, though, Jell-O Man.
Is he? Nah.
He's got some. Hold on a second. He's on line one. I'm being called. Best show.
Hello.
So yeah, what's up, Paul?
Ewoks.
I'm back.
You're back.
Hung up with you by accident.
So what happened? How did you get so detoured, Paul Vile, a.k.a. Jell-O Man?
Well, I'm actually in a route right now, and I'm an hour late, but that means anything. But
so we won't be here.
You know, come from Westchester. I took a turnpike exit, mm-hmm. and then last minute went on the Northeast Extension line exit.
I suspected.
Yeah.
An hour later.
So what's going on now, Paul? Since we're not going to get to see your lovely face, first of all, true or false, you are pretty ripped now. Like you're pretty, you're in shape.
That's none of your business. I'm just kidding. That is your business.
No. What are you doing? You live because you're doing masonry now, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I still do Jell-O, right?
You're still doing Jell-O. You still sell Jell-O shots.
I mean, I sell Jell-O and I lay bricks. Mm-hmm. Sanding, you know, I had a bunch of patios that I did in the wintertime. They led to more patios in the springtime. Next thing you know, I got all these patios. Next. I get a ton of money laying bricks. But Jell-O is my true trade, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I've got all these patios.
Yeah. It's you know, like those books I was telling you about. Then he made a patio.
And I saw
then he cooked some Jell-O. You ran away from me.
What's that now?
I saw you at Sasquatch. You ran away from me.
Yeah. Not, that one's not going to be on the greatest hits reel, Jell-O Man.
I was trying to get you some Jell-O, but never panned out.
Yeah, you... Sasquatch, you were there, and then they told you, like, don't bring Jell-O shots into the thing.
Oh, you knew about that?
Yeah, you told me. That's how I knew about it.
Oh, yeah. At the gate, they stopped me.
They stopped you with the Jell-O shots?
Yeah, I said I'm Kurt Vile's brother. They didn't care.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
I was like, bringing these to Kurt, and they were like, who's that?
Kurt Schmert, I don't care. You can't bring Jell-O in here.
They act like they were pissed off. I mean, they're pretending like they cared, but I knew they didn't deep down.
Deep down, they didn't care about you and your Jell-O.
But anyway, I'm getting the bottle. I got you a shirt.
A shirt? What is it? What is a Jell-O Man shirt?
It has ET on it.
What's that?
I have a Bonnaroo shirt for you.
Okay.
And it has E.T. on it.
I can't understand what you're
saying. E.T.
It has E.T. on it.
Extraterrestrial, the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I want speakerphone. No, this is better. Yeah, I have E.T. on the shirt. It has Jello shots on it.
Okay.
It costs $25 for you.
Oh, okay, so I'm buying a shirt, apparently. So that's...
A lot of that going around, Tom.
Yeah.
It's buy one, get one, if you will.
But what if I don't buy one?
I'll give you one, probably.
Okay. Paul...
I was selling bootleg Kurt shirts, too, at Sasquatch.
Now, how does that feel?
Yeah, he wasn't
there. How does...
He like... I don't think he cares, because he's the bottom line. So, like...
Oh, you mean the old shirt?
No, I put a picture of Kurt and I put pop art on it.
I know at one point, Paul, you were selling bootleg sunglasses of your own brother's band.
Yeah, I still do that.
How does that just... When somebody... How much do those sunglasses go for?
So you sell them two for 15, one for 10. But they're like, you know, I'll sell some for $5, they ask.
I don't remember those. They were like a long, yeah. Like a few years ago we had those.
Yeah, Kurt got really pissed off when I
put them on and they literally, they're like the...
He didn't like them.
You put them on and they're literally, the lens makes you automatically depressed. Like, they're so cheap that, like, it's not even just making things dark. It's just like, it's almost like a smoky, sooty, like, the world is
depressing.
Well,
that was just a choice I made at that one time. Like, I mean, I could get a better quality.
Oh, the new ones are better?
Okay. But on the bright side, your name is on it, Kurt.
Yeah.
But the shades I have this time for Bonnaroo, I put two Jello shots on them next to there were two Jello shots stacked on top of each other, like a little icon next to the B of the Bonnaroo.
Okay.
That makes sense,
yeah, no, that makes sense.
If you don't like them, just tell me.
Look, bro, I wish you were here. We could have done all this in person.
I know. I'm super bummed because I'm not kidding around. Like, I was making shirts, like, literally for like 2 days straight. And I just packed up. I rushed. And, like, I really wanted to come. I'm bummed out right now. I actually just pulled over because it was kind of hard to talk when I was driving.
It's a toughie, too, because we're talking about Bonnaroo, where I'm going to be. So, you know, I can't let you in.
Pictures posted, view of the egg.
It's everything we're talking about.
I'm gonna be there.
I know you'll be there.
Yeah. Paul.
Are you going, Tom? Are you going, Tom, or no?
Am I going to Bonnaroo?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Is it because you don't like me, or what is it?
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to Bonnaroo. You actually, you and Kurt are pretty much the only thing that would make me go to Bonnaroo.
What about Ween?
Ween?
Yeah.
Ween.
I'll sit that
one. What about Father John Misty?
I'll sit that out, too.
I was going to say... So you're not going to Bonnaroo.
It's like if Pete Seeger crossed with the American Psycho.
Which one, Ween?
Father John Misty.
Oh, jeez. Hey, Tom.
What's that, Paul?
Quick thing. Did you see that? Did you see the Bloody Live Nation thing? My Jello shot operation, if you will?
No, I didn't. I didn't, buddy.
Is it because you don't like me, or because you didn't?
Paul, why don't you come in here some week, even if Kurt's not around? You come, and we'll make it a night of Jello shots.
I'll make you a patio at some point too, if you want it, for no reason.
You'll make me a patio.
Yeah, I lay brick.
Yeah, no, I know what a patio. I know how patios are put together.
We've heard of bricks.
I have an artistic eye for that.
What? Where can people get? Where can people find out? Where can they get in touch with you if they want a patio?
First up, you can just send me a message on Instagram or something, or I don't really have a website set up for my masonry because
you're on
only one person.
And what are you on Instagram as?
Jello Man Philly.
Jello Man Philly. So people can go, and if they need a patio, they can buy it on Instagram.
You'd be impressed if I laid your patio, though. You'd probably like it.
All right, buddy. Look, you know I love you, Paul. You know you're my second favorite vial. I got it down. I got to click you down. Kurt, it really bugs him that I said you were the most interesting vial. Is that what I said, the most interesting or my favorite?
It never bugged me.
It never bugs you, but you've said it to me literally every time I see you. You say, hey, Paul, still your favorite vinyl.
No, that's not what I say.
What do you say?
I say how when you said that and Paul repeated it a million times. He said, oh, I'm his new favorite vinyl. Okay. He said it. He said, I'm his new favorite vinyl.
Kurt knows you like me.
I do like you. I'm not going to hide that. I like you.
Yeah. And
I like Kurt better.
That's why we're talking to you on the dumb phone.
It's okay.
Look, you drive safe. Drive safe, Paul, okay?
Wait, one more quick thing. What if I call him an hour late?
No, I'm going to be gone.
We're all going to be gone.
Yeah.
Were you guys going to eat dinner or something?
No.
Yeah, we're going to go bowling.
I guess I'll turn around and go to Bonnaroo then, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, that's what I told you to do.
So you're just going to head down to Bonnaroo now.
Well, I kind of went the wrong direction.
Oh, okay, look. Hey, just...
I wanted you to see the van that I had. I rigged it up and put a...
Yeah, how many people have heard that?
That's why you're supposed to be on time to things. Your dad all of a sudden?
I want you to see my van. How many times do you throw that line around, Paul?
That's vulgar. You can't say vulgar stuff like that. I'm talking about business here.
Yeah, but look. You take care of yourself, buddy. Can't wait to see the van. You will figure. In all seriousness, come on. We'll get you up here. And Michael trade Jell-O shots all night long. What about
it? Kurt made me sad. It made me seem like you were pissed.
No.
So hopefully you can bring me back another time.
Anytime you want, buddy. Anytime you want. Why don't you work up a special Coors Light Jell-O shot?
That's easy.
Work those up for Mike. Coors Light Jell-O shots. What if they're going to eat Whopperinos next week outside the Holland Tunnel, which is a Whopper wrap.
Well, I never heard of that yet.
Well, we'll work up some Coors Light Jell-O shots, and then we'll figure that out. All right, buddy.
Well, I'll bring her some bricks.
Okay, goodbye. Yeah, I hung up on him. No, I didn't hang. Don't. You can't act like.
I know.
Like, no,
he gave me plenty of rope.
Yeah. No, that was.
Doesn't Kurt's stay in tune very good.
Oh, that's all right. Kurt's got his banjo.
Yeah, it's not.
What are you going to play, buddy?
What do you want to hear? Actually, I don't want to play anymore.
You can play.
Oh, it's this one.
To the dome.
That was just a taste, because it's like graveyard style out of tune banjo.
Don't worry, that was awesome.
Thanks.
And that's also from the new album.
Yeah, check this out.
Kurt was just twirling his banjo. So, Coco.
Yes.
We're putting you up here for a second. Formerly of Nashville?
Yes.
Currently of parts unknown? Where were you? Just, are you all over the place now?
I am. I'm doing that thing where you go around.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit down and finish all the songs for your record like you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Been spending a lot of time in Memphis, which mm-hmm. is close to Nashville.
Sure.
A little different.
Kurt, Nashville versus Memphis, where are you on that?
Well, I love Memphis. I love the history. I went to Memphis with my family before Nashville, and I hit up Sun Studios.
Mm-hmm.
I hit up Graceland, and I had some barbecue and all those kind of things. But if I had to choose one to live in for music, et cetera, it's like Nashville because it's just like shooting fish in a barrel over there. But
yes.
But they're so close. That's the beauty of it. I mean, yeah. Why, you don't even necessarily have to pick. Mm-hmm. But if I had to, I'd pick live in Nashville. I'd still visit Memphis. There's a guy over there, Doug Easley, in Memphis.
He does
record a lot of I was trying to get a hold of him when I was over there. Mm-hmm. Definitely a great engineer.
Sure.
Did some classic records that I liked.
Yes. Such as?
Silver Jew, Starlight Walker, Pavement, Wowie Zowie.
Mm-hmm. You and Bob talk about?
Yeah.
Doug Easley?
Grifters, Guided by Voices.
Yeah.
White Stripes.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Like, later on he did Loretta Lynn and stuff. But, like, I just think, especially, like, Silver Juice, Starlight Walker, like, none of them could play that so good, but they're young and soulful.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just, he just captured a moment where all the drums and everything sound so good. And plus, he plays, like, lap steel and piano. It's all just so pretty. Like,
yeah.
It all just sits there so good. So one day, that's why I like Nashville, too. It's not that far from Philly. I'll just drive to Nashville from my rented house, and I'll drive from Philly from my rented house in Nashville, you know, write a couple songs, cut a few tracks, and then I'll go over to Memphis and record with Doug Easley or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to Graceland,
I'll tell you.
What's your favorite part? The squash court? Elvis' squash court?
The squash court, I don't know what that is.
It's where his jumpsuits and gold records are.
No.
Trilogy.
Okay, yeah. No, I liked his one room, the pool room. I have some photos,
mm-hmm.
like the wallpaper. It was, it almost looked like a. I don't know how you could describe that. Fuck the pool room.
What is like a caravan, almost of some.
Yeah, it's just incredible. Yeah. It's like almost. It's like beautiful. It would almost come off tacky, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And same goes with his back room, that shag rug room.
Mm-hmm.
With the, I don't know, the lounge area. They're both like
the
almost
jungle room?
Tacky. Yeah, the jungle room.
Or the
room.
One downstairs with the monkey.
The jungle room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that is, it's got a monkey, right?
No. Yeah.
The one
with the TVs?
Oh, the
with
TV,
the bar?
Okay, the TVs, that's yeah. cool, but it's almost like it makes you sick immediately.
Yeah.
It's all mirrors.
And it's
and he was like,
he heard that one of the presidents
watched three TVs at once, so mm-hmm. he like was like, I want to do that because the president did it. And then so he like played three different stations all the time, mm-hmm. except there's mirrors everywhere, so it's almost like 100.
Yeah.
Well, 300
TVs.
Three times 100.
It's like a fly watching television.
Three times 100 TVs.
Right?
Shows.
Did you know he loved Monty Python? Do you know he was a big Monty Python fan?
No.
He was. And he would go up to people and be like, evening, Squire.
And he would go
say
up,
no more.
He would go up to people and be like, hey, you like Monty Python? I like Monty Python.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Pretty amazing, too. Like, they don't let you go upstairs. And, like, he kept that private. Like,
mm-hmm.
people would come to visit
him. I went up there.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't go? They didn't let you up?
I was in a group tour.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was getting a private thing. I went up there.
Well, the way they pitched it was, like, he didn't like people to see you upstairs.
Oh, no, no. He didn't want most people seeing it. But mm-hmm. I was up
okay.
there.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to see it, but, like, also the kind of thing, it's sort of like he would have friends over.
Do you want to know what's up there?
No. But I just want to say that he had friends over,
yeah.
and then they'd be just waiting for him respectfully. They would never go up mm-hmm. there and look for him, and then, mm-hmm. like, he would often take his merry time. It could be
yeah.
long, it could be short, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden you'd hear his, like, jewelry rattling down the stairs.
Down
it's
the
like,
stairs, yeah.
It's like, I think I'm going to wear this ring today. Mm-hmm. See my friends. You like Monty Python? I like Monty Python.
You want to know what's up there? You want to know a little bit what's up
yeah,
there,
yeah, what's
right?
up there?
It's pretty cool.
Tell me.
He's got four TVs. There's a room with four TVs. One had PBS on it. Like, because it was ABC, NBC, CBS, and one had PBS.
Every now and then I watch a little PBS too.
Yeah.
Julia Child.
Yeah. Upstairs, downstairs. Right? He liked upstairs. Oh, Elvis loved upstairs, downstairs, so. We're coming to the end of the show, my friends.
Yeah.
Prog rock, Coco, will your new album on Merch have any progressive rock influence? Percentage-wise. Just give me a percentage from 0 to 100.
It'd be a little bit on the higher side of 40%.
40?
There's a lot of things I've been meaning to say and play and... Mm-hmm.
You know what you should get on there? Some early ELP sounding thing where it's like that song, Barbarian, where it's like, bone down on the sad man, bone on down.
Nope. Is anybody doing that right now?
No, nobody is, except for, Gary Wrong, I think is the only one who has some sort of prog influence. Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
When? Do you start working on another album?
I'm going to start soon. And I've been recording little one-offs here and there, and I recorded in Nashville as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to start working on, like, the new KV and the Violators record and after the summer.
And the craziest thing you ever did was this split with Steve Gunn where you named a song after... You put my name in a song title.
I had to just do it before somebody else did it. Mm-hmm. I just thought I'd just... Because sure. I played that song on your show, and just Red Apples.
Yeah.
Red Apples is a sort of an old song of mine. I played it on your show, and then I needed something else to do. And also, I knew that Corey, who runs the label of who put it out. The label? Three Lobed?
Yes, Three Lobed Records. Fan, really so great label.
I just had to own it before somebody else did. I was like, "There's like your radio show is about you're about to go on your own." I was like, "I gotta grab on to Tom Sharpling and name check him before somebody else tries."
Well, that was one of the sweetest things, and I do think, look, there's a Coco. I'm not saying you have to name two songs.
Well, it's been
laid now to one up Kurt.
It's been put down, hasn't it?
That's my point. I already squashed it.
Okay, so
but you could,
but you know,
it's a whole different game now. More
is better, or like. You know, A side, B side.
Yeah.
Could be two sides of Tom.
Tom Sharpling.
As opposed to just a one sided view.
Yeah. Another side of Tom Sharpling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another side. Yeah.
Exactly.
What's that side?
Oh, it's going to. Well, you're.
Boy, I hope there's another side. I want to meet that version of me. Let me get to that side. Not happy with this side. This side has not been working so well.
Freewheeling Tom Sharpling.
Freewheeling. Mm-hmm.
Another side of Tom Sharpling.
Yeah. Self-portrait.
The basement Tom Sharpling.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Best show. Caller.
Hello.
Yes.
Tom?
Hi.
I'm sorry. I've got nothing but praise for this show.
Yeah. Of course you do. Because what do you think? We called it the best show by accident?
Nah. Probably not.
Nah.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Bike horn.
Oh, man.
All right.
You
almost caught yourself last time that time it went through.
Did it?
Yeah, a little bit. It's fine.
Fine.
Don't worry, buddy. Kurt.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You do whatever you want, buddy.
I apologize.
You know, you mean the world to me.
I get the message.
So, bro, what are you? You're here with Kurt Vile and Bob Mayer and Coco.
Oh, I'm so excited that you didn't drop me, because I wanted to say to Bob Mayer that I hadn't heard of you before, but that last hour of that show was so amazing. Every single thing, that history of the of everything was so amazing.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. I can't take all the credit. Some of it has to go to the albino janitor who knew more about the band than I did. But.
Of course.
What's your favorite Replacements album, caller?
My favorite Replacements album... I don't have one because I don't know the Replacements that much. I have to be honest.
Well, you might want to start with their last album and go backwards. That's what I do.
I know. But I'm starting with the last Kurt Vile album and going backwards.
Oh, you can't go wrong with that.
When Kurt Vile played Pretty Pimpin', I cried. It was so amazing on your show.
I know.
I've listened to it 7 times. But when he played it live, it like broke my heart.
And what do you think? I'm gonna have a clown in here? Of course he's gonna do something amazing.
Oh no. Right? No, I knew he would do something amazing, but like I was not expecting that.
Right?
That somehow like broke me. And I don't know what the sound was, but it like killed me. It was so good.
Yeah.
It's acoustic guitar, vocal.
It was probably the acoustic guitar that got me.
All right, you're done. Best show.
How's it going? This is Tyler from Seattle.
Tyler from Seattle. What's up, Tyler?
Nothing. I'm drinking a beer on my porch.
You're drinking a beer on your porch? What kind of beer?
Rainier beer.
Ah.
Yeah. What? Sorry.
I don't know.
What is a Washington's PBR?
Mm-hmm.
As in Mount Rainier.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. So what can we do for you?
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, somebody from Seattle called in about putting a friend of Tom in his Tinder profile. Do you remember that?
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put it in, and then I think I've got. What's that?
It's me, Kurt.
You sound hey. Like Philly. You sound
Philly. Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good, man.
Oh, no.
So you, what are you doing, man?
Drinking a beer on my porch.
You see us, you can see us at Bonnaroo?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Dueling Viles.
Get your banjo. You go. Go bunner dun 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 dun. Can you do that?
No, that's what Mike asked me. Do you know the theme from Deliverance? I was like, do you mean dueling banjos?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did learn it when I was a child.
And what was he getting? It's just like, yeah, because I want to let people know that there'll be a deliverance of these masses shirts happening.
Yeah.
All right, caller.
All right.
Anything else you want to say? The best moment of anything.
Oh, man. So mean. I love it. It's like... Is that how you gain fans or lose them? Like, either way. It's sort of like when, like, somebody praises you and you're with a friend.
Uh-huh.
The only thing you can do, because it's awkward, is just make fun of them. They're like, I love you so much. And then you're like, yeah.
Remember?
You mock them?
Yeah. You remember when we were at that Neil Young show and the guy came up to you? And what did he say?
He's like, excuse me, are you Kurt Vile? I was like, nope.
You went, nope.
And then he's like, I love your music.
Yeah, because he knew it was you.
Well, that's what happens when I'm with a friend. It's embarrassing because they really, I'm grateful for fandom, as you are.
Yes, of course.
Sort of like when I went up to you and I was a fan, you're like, I'm very flattered, and you're like running away. But they can just really... Once in a while, make you feel really corny.
It's fine. Look, everybody knows you're a sweet guy.
Embarrass you in front of your friends.
You're a sweet guy, Kurt.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You're a sweet guy.
I have a sweet side.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Well, I want to tell everybody, first of all, first things first. The mural. Don't miss it. It's in Ridgewood and Bushwick, right on the line there. Wyckoff and Norman... The Halsey L stop, you get your picture taken in front of the thing, you post it at Best Show Rules NYC, and you post it, and we're giving prizes out every day for everybody who does that. Honor the show for once in my life, right? For once in my life, show you care. AP Mike has his masses shirts. go to apmike.bandcamp.com. Kurt Vile on tour for a little bit this summer. A little bit.
Yeah, a little.
The album, though, in stores now. Believe I'm Going Down on Matador. It's a modern classic.
Thanks, brother.
All right. What's that? Are you Hulk Hogan
thanks,
now?
Thanks, brother. I don't know who I am.
It's exciting.
I think I'm still, everything I say is very, it could be Philly, that's very Philly, you know?
I'm here with Kurt Vile,
hey,
brother.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
The Philly.
Hey, brother, you gonna do In My Time tonight, brother?
If you want to hear,
set list, you're
hey,
right.
Brother, you want it? If you want In My Time, you got it, brother.
You one of the Vile Maniacs? Listen, you Vile Maniacs.
You want In My Time, you got it, brother.
All right, everybody.
It's like Kurt Vile and the Violators with Hulk Hogan, and he's on stage. He's like,
we're going to do Freak Train next, brother.
And then who just... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
All right. Here, you talk, and then I'll talk as Hulk Hogan on stage with you. You talk
Wait,
as you.
Wait, Hulk Hogan's just, way funner. Okay, I'll try.
You talk as you.
No, you be you. You.
You're right, you.
Okay, this is me. Hey, everybody.
That's not... No, that's...
Everybody, I'm going to hear my new hit single, Pretty Pimpin'.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, you Vile Maniacs, eat your vitamins.
Yeah, everybody, listen to Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Look, I see Jell-O Man out there. What's up, brother? Hey, brother, you ready to hear a little Pretty Pimpin'?
And then one guy's chanting, Jell-O Man, yeah. Jell-O Man. Jell-O Man. Then he's telling it. He makes it sound like you're just like, people, please, I'm trying to do my set. Can you let me just play my songs? I know you guys love Jell-O Man so much, but he made it sound like it was like you were actually like unable to perform because they were screaming Jell-O Man.
Jell-O Man! Jell-O Man!
Yeah.
Just like throwing Jell-O shots at us. Until Jell-O Man showed up. I was like, no, please, I want to...
And you're like, and you're just like, oh, this next song, boo.
Yeah.
This next song, In My Time, brother.
Hit in the eye with the
All right, now give me something to get on Pitchfork. Come on, give me one thing without Man. Slamming other people.
Okay, I don't... We can. What, let's revisit. What do you mean?
I don't know. Some of the good stuff.
You got on Pitchfork several times. What are you looking for?
I'm
I'll
not
try
looking
it.
For you to slam other people. That I don't.
Know,
I look
that's
down.
That's what dirt
you
is.
Love. But you first of all, you
I don't
love.
Slam other people.
No.
I mean, the same exact way you do. Like mm-hmm. just a little bit.
Yeah, you need
you
them a
slam.
Little. Look, I didn't say I didn't. I just don't want you getting in some band fight.
I'm never going to be in a band fight. Because I'll say one thing and then I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You Until done, I yeah. show up again.
Yeah. Well, Kurt, you I'm know I fight. Love you. I'm so glad you came here, buddy.
Me too.
Thank you for making the time. And tell everybody about that t-shirt you're wearing.
Oh, this is George Jones hanging out with the Easter Bunny. I have 10 of these shirts. It's
really
basically
great.
I read, I've been country dorking out a lot, but I read George Jones's autobiography somewhere in there. George Jones's autobiography called I Live to Tell It All. Mm-hmm. So that kind of tells what the book's about.
Mm-hmm.
But then just by chance at Strand Bookstore, in fact, in New York, where you're going tomorrow.
Yes. Oh!
To tie it in.
Nice.
I randomly saw there was a book about Tammy Wynette, which was interesting in itself, but it was written by the guy who wrote Neil Young's book, Shaky, so I picked it up.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy.
And, Jimmy McDonut. And,
Jimmy McDonut.
And then, anyway, inside, you know, this is like when he was married to Tammy Wynette, and he's... Mm-hmm. So that was like one of his classic insane times. Mm. Yet inside the Tammy Wynette book, there's a photo of him hanging out with the Easter Bunny, like a real family photo. But he's like got sunglasses on, his jaws clenched. He's probably like, let me get a picture next to this bunny. And then like what you don't know is like, you know, probably 5 minutes later, he beat the crap out of the bunny and threw something like a TV through the window and disappeared for like
2 weeks. So this guy's like my hero, you know?
George Jones. You should watch the movie. Did you see the Leon Russell movie that just came out? It's been unreleased for about 40 years. George Jones is in it. It's called A Poem is a Naked Person.
Yeah.
And it follows Leon Russell from like 72 to 74. And it's kind of that period of stuff that I think you'd like.
Yeah.
And George Jones is in it. Willie Nelson's in it.
Is Jerry Lee Lewis in it?
No.
Because he played with him too, correct?
With Leon Russell?
Leon, isn't he the songwriter? Leon?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the, and he played session work?
Yeah, he did a ton of, yeah. You really should see this movie.
He definitely jammed with Jerry Lee too.
And this movie, I will say this, slightly weirder than, like, Gummo. It's, like, if you heard it, just like, yeah, this is the movie. Like, Gummo was a remake of A Poem is a Naked Person. I'd be like, okay, that's
nice. Is it like real, like documented footage turned into a movie? So it's sort of like Gummo, but real?
It's like following Leon Russell and random people in Oklahoma in the early 70s around as they just... There's a scene of a guy painting Leon Russell's swimming pool with like a psychedelic thing. And for about 1 minute, they just show this guy in like those like 70s... jean shorts with no shirt on and barefoot, and they show his feet for about 45 seconds of screen time as he gathers scorpions that fell into the pool before he starts painting.
Ooh.
You should see this movie. You'd like it a lot.
Sounds great. Thank you.
So, thank you, Kurt, for coming down.
Sure.
Bob Mayer.
Yes, sir.
Your book, Trouble Boys. The true story of The Replacements is so great. Congratulations on 8 years of hard work.
Thank you.
You did it. You blew them all away. Every other rock bio is now just sucking wind compared to what you did.
Well, I'd like to think so, but probably not.
Well,
but
you did. I'm telling you, it's true.
All my friends are talking about it.
Oh, nice.
Seriously. Thank you.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
People of New York City, after you go to the mural... Let's go to the Strand.
Yes. Strand Bookstore, New York City, 7 p.m. I will be doing an event in conversation with John Worster of various musical endeavors, Superchunk, Bob Mould Band. He was also at one time in a band that was managed by the same managers as The Replacements, so he has a deep connection. And, on a bit of a big book tour this weekend, I'll be in L.A. for your Southern California listeners, doing a thing in Long Beach at Fingerprints Music with Josh Fries, who was a drummer on The Replacements reunion, plays with Devo and a bunch of other people. And then Sunday in Hollywood, I'll be at Book Soup, 4 p.m., doing a little talk and signing there.
One of the last times I was at Book Soup, Jeff Garlin was there.
I've heard he's actually a fan of the book. A mutual friend of ours says he's into it, so he's like a big Replacements guy, apparently.
He was talking super loud in the store. Holy moly. Like, don't you talk quieter when you're around books? They like think it's a library. This guy's like, hey, does anybody know where the book is?
Was he like, hey, brother?
Hey. Yeah. Then Hulk Hogan walked into Book Soup. Jeff Garlin was at Book Soup. He's like, hey, is anybody? I'm trying to find a book on The Undertones. Then Hulk Hogan came in. Hey, brother, I got wrestling books over here. Hey, I'm looking for a Philip K. Dick, brother. And Coco Hames, yes. You are recording your solo album.
Yes.
Is that a 2017 proposition?
Yes, springtime.
All right, this time next year we will all be already in love with the record.
That sounds great.
Right?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Which will have 12 songs named after you.
Kurt.
Should.
That's fine.
It should be called You Lose, Kurt.
You Lose, Kurt.
Coco does that. Then she's like, wait, maybe that shouldn't have been what my solo album was about.
You Lose, Kurt.
I did it wrong.
Yeah.
The Tom 1 through 12, and she titles it You Lose, Kurt.
Yeah, and then it's like...
And meanwhile, see the record and you're like, what?
Yeah, what is this?
What's she talking
about? Somebody got a little carried away.
It would be like the...
That's right.
feel like that Bruce Springsteen song you were singing earlier. First it was my town to your town.
Your home, your hometown, their hometown, my hometown, every town.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Best Show. We will be back next week. And I'm going to leave you all with something by, that's right, OBN3s. We'll listen to this, and we will be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.